This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Just when you didn't think punctuation was as important as it is, you look at a post-it note that Kat Carlson is already writing. She's already got three post-its on her screen.
Well, these are last week's post-its.
Oh, those are last week.
Yeah, last week's post-its include such gems as notes, !! Because I was very excited about the new post-it note app.
I'm sure you are.
The next post-it note reads, Jews, because I think we offended them.
Yeah.
Or we need to recruit.
Right before their new year, too. Rude.
Oh, that is rude. That's our bad.
And then post-it note number three and the top of the pile, fuck Jesus. Which was, as you'll recall, our drinking term.
Yeah.
And a delightful turn of phrase.
Before we get too far into
this. Hey, Joey and Anand, welcome.
Oh, Joey from
early
California.
Early adopters.
Yeah, hello, welcome.
From Canada. I think it's Joey from Canada. He's driving.
Oh, that is true. Joey Ferrucci. We've been chatting back and forth on the old Facebooks. Before we get too far into the show, I wanted to give a moment of zen today because I appreciate this. Al Perkins posted this from, I don't know how long ago it was, just a gentle reminder.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
You're not done having sex with a gorilla until the gorilla is done having sex.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what that was in reference
was
to.
Personal experience?
Other than gorilla sex, but I mean, I don't know.
I don't know where the quote comes from either. Okay.
Information to have.
It's one of those things that's always been in the back of my mind, so it must come from something that made me laugh a few years ago that I posted every day on this date.
Okay.
Because when I got to the first time I saw the memory, I laughed out loud, hit share, and then I looked down and it was like 2013, 2012. And I'm like, well, I'm really concerned about sex with gorillas.
I'm very concerned.
But it was in a movie I saw last night, too, that somebody like brought it up in the
sex with the gorilla.
Yeah, the actress goes, I think I can paraphrase that for the paper. Because that's the quote that the general gives her for the... And she's like, I think I can paraphrase that.
I think that's a below the fold, sir. Thank you very much.
Is that a new designation of the gay community? Is that like bears and otters and gorillas? Oh,
my.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either,
but I saw it. And it seems like I remember you doing it before because I've had Facebook for a few years, but I forgot about it. When I saw that today, it just made me laugh. You're not done until the gorilla's done. And that goes right along with, I think, playing dead. Well, the light's on, so it's charging. It shows it's charging.
Oh, what happened? It's coming back.
Oh.
Ooh, I neglected to charge my device before I came in.
It's always the thing.
Because I took an all-day nap.
I realize this is totally random, but please. I have a question for you. And because I just said it before we went on the air.
I greatly enjoy questions.
And I just wanted to... This thought never occurred to me before. When you were little, the song Cats in the Cradle ever strike a chord with you as in, is it a song about me?
Two things.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
I don't actually identify as a cat. I want that to be really clear because in the past couple of weeks. No, hang on.
Okay.
The past couple of weeks, I've received more dead cat unsolicited mail.
Right.
Right.
Any tax returns in there somewhere?
After last year's trauma. I mean, last week's trauma.
And the number of drunk homos that will come and just meow at me from across the bar. I'm not actually a cat.
Right.
In fact, no one called me cat prior to 2003 when I moved to Arizona and got a temp job in an office where there were three women named Kathy. Which is what my mother calls me.
Okay.
And so they
I forget about the fact that there was a life before Kat Carlson became the entity that you are.
There was a very
So Cats in the Cradle meant nothing.
No, it really just
that was the short answer I was looking for. But thank you for
listen.
And you know what? If you walked in here and said you were Kathy, I'd slap you and be like, fucking liar.
And it freaks people out when my mom's around. Like, occasionally when someone meets my mother and she's like, oh, you know, Kathy this and Kathy that.
Like, who?
Who is this Kathy person? About, yeah, you got a dirt in your pocket.
But that's what my family's called me since I was born. I recommended to some ladies in an office that I didn't plan to work in for 4 years, which I ended up doing. That they could just call me Kat for short or whatever it is that they wanted because I clearly wasn't going to be there long enough. And it stuck. It just stayed around.
Got it. This just in, the Daily Show has posted a picture of what's going on right now at the debate. I've got this picture for you. So there's that. That's what's going on right now at the debate on the screen. Al hasn't even taken a moment to look at that's the debate.
Wait, now I'm torn because I love both of those things.
Well, just wonder, white bread and a glass of milk, you know, but still.
So Oprah's clearly voting for the tie on the right.
Yeah, I like the way it went because I don't like white bread, but I do enjoy milk.
I do enjoy milk as well.
Yeah.
Cold, ice cold milk. Oh, I enjoy
it. Unless your homemade bread is delicious, but store-bought white bread is really makes me want to kill myself.
Why bother? Yeah, no, I have to go with a whole grain if I can. Multigrain, whole grain, most often. Yeah.
I'm not allowed to have rye in the house because I eat the whole loaf in the toaster with butter and I just stand there like some kind of an evil person.
As a child, I didn't like rye and give me marble rye and it freaked me out, but now I love all sorts of breads. I guess it was more of an acquired taste for me.
We would go to the Italian bakery and get the fresh Italian bread, which my entire family still swarms around. Mm-hmm. You get it warm, you tear it apart, you dip it in the butter, it's good times. Somebody's making sauce, you dip the bread.
Oh. If you're dipping anything in butter, who cares what it is?
But then, you know, somebody's making sauce, you take the crusty on the outside, soft on the inside bread,
yep.
But not French bread hard, not that nonsense.
I don't
right,
like that.
No, I don't want to break a tooth.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
I want to enjoy my teeth for as long as I can. But my dad would go to a Polish bakery and get this pumpernickel bread when I was a kid that I would never eat because I was like, God, that looks so gross. And I had all those
racist
food phobias. So I wouldn't, yeah, exactly.
I wasn't Polish thinking people like that, but there you are, racist.
No, so,
pumpernickel racist bastard.
Xenophobe with a bread. So I would never eat it, and then later when I found pumpernickel bread on my own, I'm like, God damn it, how many years of fresh, warm pumpernickel bread by loving Polish women did I miss out on? God damn it.
You and your father could have been closer if you'd only eaten the bread.
And one time I was in charge of making breakfast while he went out to get the bread from the bakery, and I didn't make the coffee first. I started cooking, not realizing that you make the coffee, and then, oh my God, he was mad at me for like a year. And now, as an adult, I am so on board with his anger.
Wait, if there's no coffee when I get back with this bread.
Because I didn't drink coffee at the time.
Sure.
So I went right to making the bacon, you know, what I thought was the highlight of the meal, not realizing you make the coffee, you let it sit there, then everybody can sit around and drink the crack while the bacon's cooking.
Because the bacon's
It was an important
longest.
Lesson to learn, though. I've never put off the making of the coffee since that day. Look on his face like I just killed Jesus.
For those of you wondering how old Al was, Al started drinking coffee at 4.
No,
so,
19. 19.
We believe it.
You waited that long?
Yes, right? I did. All my food phobia. It was another one of those things that I didn't understand why you would drink something brown and
look
the
at
smell
you
was
now.
Funny.
Look
but
at
I had
you
my now. First day job and people racist. Were threatening to kill me. Colombians.
Because you were intolerable?
Just a horrible, horrible bitch in the morning. That they actually were trying to make it palatable. So it was two sweet and lows and all the creamer they could find.
Anything.
Just to get it down because they're
there's a cow and a cup of coffee.
Just please employ some kind of mind alterant or stimulant to get you through this horrible, horrible time called morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was a raging, raging bitch. There was no getting around it.
So
I enjoy that we use the past tense.
Yeah, that. Yeah. He's trying to sell us that he was.
Now I'm a caffeinated bitch.
Now I'm wide awake in a bitch.
Yes, I'm an alert bitch this time.
It was funny. And I did get slightly nicer to all of them, by day two of the coffee.
What is this, Mom? My mom in the chat room is saying, hi, guys, what hour?
Oh, she's not looking at the timestamp. I saw that you had a chat room.
Oh, earlier.
Participant.
Oddly,
about
it was
o'clock.
I was telling Al before the show. A friend back in Missouri he saw the post and thought that the time that it said the 7 p.m., he thought that was
his
their
time
in Central.
Right.
And then he was looking to find out when we are. So, no, that's what it was.
Because it's almost time for our annual what the fuck
time is
time
it?
Time are we
right.
in?
Hi,
since
Mark.
Daylight savings is about to end.
Oh, because that happens soon.
We really are mountain time. We just switched to
Pacific
time for mm-hmm. daylight savings time.
Right.
But our true standard time is mountain time.
Yes.
But you can't tell that to anybody because we leave for 6 months of the year and it's completely fucked up until the rest of the world
November,
stops.
Sunny November 6th is when we go back to what the fuck time is everybody else on.
But do not let that interfere with your voting 2 days later.
Mm-mm.
Oh no, God, no. You can vote all day.
And really, local listeners will be voting at the same time. The time doesn't change at all.
Right.
I know, but so we just gotta get this shit. 35 days is what I have left to preserve my sanity.
And if I'm not mistaken,
it's taking deep breathing, exercise, looking at pictures of Mark Sanchez.
Copious amounts of vodka.
I enjoyed the other night. Rachel was so wound up about something. In fact, she even came back from a break and she said, and I swear at some point during the show, I'm going to calm down.
No, if the show runs long enough, I may calm down.
But she was like, can we just vote killing? She was just, I want to be done with this.
Yeah, I really, me and Mr. Maddow had a moment there because yeah, I was feeling the same way. By the way, you snuck in, sat down, and got ready, did you?
I sure did.
She's ready. She's got loaded with coffee. Look at her go. I got a fresh pot in there, too, if you need one.
I have extra.
You know, we may need to change this to a morning show, because we all just think.
We are in
time. It is morning. Don't do that.
I mean, it's morning to me. I just woke up, too.
So. Oh, my gosh.
See, these fuckers don't care.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, I was... I got, good morning, speaking of that, my San Francisco trip, when I would wake up, because just to be irritating to all of the people that were in the thing, you know, because they all went out and partied like crazy people and got drunk and were hungover the next morning, I wish I really knew the entire song that Doris Day sings, that good morning, that, because all I kept doing was that. And
it's great to stay up late. Good morning.
We've talked good morning to you. Yeah.
Right. I wish I knew, had realized I should have rehearsed the entire song because all I kept doing is walking around chipper, doing that. Just those two lines. I'm like, do you know the rest of the song? I'm like, nope. Just good morning. Good morning.
Well, watch Singing in the Rain.
Someday. I probably own that.
One of the most delightful movie musicals of all
and
time.
And a hell of a lot of great dancing in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yes. And it really never stops.
I'm a big fan. And it just doesn't.
Oh.
That's a movie that... I had enjoyed over the years. I had a nice relationship with. We were very friendly.
Hey, Joey.
And then they did a...
Mama's saying hi to everybody tonight in the chat room. Mom's very busy.
She's at coffee, too.
She might be on the coffee I brought back from San Francisco.
Marina in the house.
They had a sing-along, Singing in the Marina. Rain. I don't know if they meant it to be a sing-along, but unlike the disappointment that was the Beauty and the Beast one where none of the fucking kids sang, the only time I was happy to be in a room full of children and none of those motherfuckers sang... the Singing in the Rain one.
I wish I'd have been at the Beauty and the Beast one.
Everybody sang. Oh, I know. I was singing by myself. And I'm like, come on. We got an Angela Lansbury key change coming up, girls. Get it together.
And a one and a two.
One of these got to be the fucking teacup.
Be our guest. Put our service to the test.
I was kicking my legs. I was doing my own choreography. I was in a special roped off section.
All the spoons dive into the soup.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure that my van had windows kind of thing.
or padding. At the least padding.
But the Singing in the Rain, and I honestly had never enjoyed that movie as much. And I like I said, I don't think it was meant to be a sing-along in any way. It was in Scottsdale. It was a screening. And the whole audience sang along to just about every song. And like people stopped and applauded. They played I think that has an intermission. Or if there wasn't an intermission, then they stopped the movie for a little while and let everybody get up and do their stuff because everybody wanted to like move. Everybody was like, "No, I gotta move."
Right.
The Moses supposes and all that stuff. But it was one of those movies. It was one of the most delightful experiences as everybody in every row was singing along to the songs.
Fun.
And they're not really sing-along-y songs.
Well, you can make it.
But if you have them memorized.
But if you have them memorized, yeah. And the Good Morning was the one that, I mean, you could just hear everybody's feet trying to like...
trying to tap it out. Yeah, I've decided to add aspiring
just thinking about that movie
to
makes
any introduction
happy.
That I receive.
I think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Well, here we are. It's show 279. It's the 4th of October. We are, we've got like, what did you say, 35 days until election?
Yeah,
and then
5 weeks from today.
We might be able to move on to other topics on this show, but we're not sure exactly how this is going to turn out.
It depends on how
well, right, this
how
could
day
drag
35
on.
Goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
yeah, we'll see how this all turns out.
And if you're not currently addicted to 538.com, the words are spelled out for your daily polls only, polls plus, where they factor in like the economy, the president's approval ratings, news of the day, and then if the election were held today, how would it go? If you're not addicted to that shit with a little windy graph that tells you like what state's going to put somebody over the line.
Yeah.
Or they do, and I think it's really important for Americans. Our foreign listeners will not be as interested, but our electoral college is so fucked up, and you'll see a lot of people that look at the map of 08 and 2012 and it'll be like, how can you win this big chunk of the country and still lose the election? So 538.com does a map adjustment where they do a general shape of the United States, but it's in proportion to how many delegates each state has.
Right.
So you realize that big portion of the middle that has like 20 delegates for seven states or six states, you see how small that is and how big like California, Texas, Florida, New York, like, and it puts it in proportion.
That's
it's a really interesting map to look at for how can you win 25 states and be that far behind in the election when we're 25 states? You know right. what I mean?
Well, they've been having fun on that.
Because Washington, D.C. is the same size as Montana as far as electoral votes go. You know what I mean? That's so you have a city and one of the largest states we have having the same amount of representation in the Electoral College. So you really have to, it really puts that in proportion.
I've not looked for it, but apparently there is an app called 270. And because Joy and Mr. Maddow
play 270.
Play 270, where you can change all the states around and do your own thing to figure out. Because Joy has been playing it, and she was being interviewed the other night on Matt Al's show, and she's like, "Get off your phone! I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing." And it was so funny to watch.
She said
them.
She was going
to
get her another game.
Yeah,
to play.
Something
like,
to
I'm
play.
Gonna, I'm getting you something else.
But now apparently Matt Al's hooked on it too. So she's playing the 270 game where you can move the states around and figure out how they can who can win and how they can lose with just. It's
well,
just
I think
funny.
It's the.
This just adds to the nerd.
I think the USA.
I'm installing it right now.
Yeah. I can't remember.
What's it called? What's it called?
US 270 free is what I found.
Okay. So
I will continue to look and.
I think that's it.
Okay. You're gonna love
USA
it,
Today and CNN both will give you like the polls and everything like that, but they don't, and they'll paint out like. What's a swing state? And you have to kind of do the math yourself. But what you can do is you can take like the 2012 map and assign new states, or you can take their map and like, I think they have, there's only like six states that are toss ups right now. It's kind of strange how few there are. And you can put them where you want to.
Meow Cow brings up a very good point. The electoral maps do not take into account further South Dakota's votes.
And newer Jersey seems to be completely disenfranchised.
And what about further North Carolina?
Oh. All the other Carolinas are really pissed off.
I know. It's a tight race.
Listen,
there.
until we start teaching civics in this country again, God only knows.
Or just civility, period. If anything starts with a C, we can start
and
teaching.
And Puerto Rico gets none. But what would happen if they decided...
They have a hell of a parade, though.
Yeah. That's a hell of a day at sea, sir.
What no one's thought of...
Oh.
Except you.
Well, no, but I mean, this you'll hear this from a lot of different people. Why would they make it an even number? That's what they kept saying in 2000. It was like the joke of the Electoral College. Why would you make something an even number? Why would you build in a tie?
Oh.
So now, give Puerto Rico one electoral vote.
Totally.
Bingo! And
you're
now you
tie.
Have, like, somebody has to win.
Right. Yes.
It's just the craziest fucking thing that a tie, like, why would you build something in that can tie?
And then the other thing
that's why we have a vice president. He has one fucking job. Break a tie.
That and then Matt, I was talking the other night again about because we now have a 4-4 split in the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Like she again was talking about the fact that here's what they've all set up. So depending on how fucked up this goes and what could potentially happen, she just goes down the list of who gets, how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? And it was like, it just got uglier and uglier. And I'm like, oh no, please do.
I really wish that the Supreme Court had kind of gone on strike and been like, oh, we're not going to see any, we're not going to hear any cases until we've got nine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they just, yesterday was their first day back in school, as Rachel called it. They're all back in session, the four or the eight of them, excuse me.
For the 49 days or whatever it is.
Yeah, something.
And except for the fact that there has to be an odd number.
Not the Supreme Court. I'm sorry, the Congress.
Senate.
Now they're out for another 44 days. But it is
their long 45-day weekend.
Well, now I have two things, because you interrupted me. So
you're
you.
Welcome. Fuck you.
Two can't remember either one. But.
Weird.
Both of those things. So what were
45-day weekend for the Senate.
So the second thing was, if Hillary wins, aren't we all kind of in agreement that they're going to rush through Merrick?
Merrick. That's what
because
I was going to say.
Because he's
close to their side. Mm-hmm. He's moderate.
He's
for them.
So moderate, and then you...
Which was why he was presented in the first place.
But you're going to unleash the hounds of hell... Because if I was Hillary Clinton and you just fucked with the president for a year,
oh hold on,
honey, you're gonna get an abortion doctor themselves on that fucking panel.
Now I don't know.
Who seriously is chained to a tree and can only do it while putting EPA taxes on people. I mean,
now,
we're just gonna go to an extreme.
That point, explain this to me. He's already there now. Can he can be withdrawn? I'm assuming. By Obama?
But they won't, because we have... Well, first off, I don't think there's anything that says there has to be nine, but there does... I think it's only written that there has to be an odd number, because we've had three, we've had five, we've had seven. I've never actually looked that up to find out how we got to nine, but nine is
I thought
is
it
not,
was from the districts.
But there's more districts. I think there's like, that's what I thought too. I bought that answer for a while, and then I found out there's more than nine district courts. I think there's a 10th circuit court.
Kat Carlson is on it.
The other one is we have that lame duck session where if the Senate is won by the Democrats, they get sworn in on the 3rd. Obama's president till the 20th of January. You have 17 days where they could just whip that through.
Get a lot done in that 2 weeks.
So I had 3 points, and I remembered all of them.
Oh!
Fuck you all.
Well, the interesting thing on his boyfriend's show was...
Thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome. As she was rolling the names of the potential court or justices that it could go to.
Nobody knows their names.
Except Merrick Garland.
Merrick at the bottom. Yeah, I saw that.
Was the last one, and I looked at my mom, and I said... I feel like I know that name.
Yeah.
So it's not all of the names, but I went back and scrolled very slowly.
Because I couldn't remember. Was she just scrolling
the other ones?
Elected judges?
The potential ones that...
From the states that are all that are toss-ups or the districts that have toss-ups.
So the problem is if you follow Cory Booker as closely as I have since his convention speech...
I'd like him to follow me more closely.
Very closely.
Because she's a cutie.
Jenny. I'll see what I can do.
I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I message him daily.
Much as Rachel's.
Tell him hi for me.
I sure will.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Hey, Corey. How's your day?
Yeah.
I decided on salad for lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My friend Al says hi.
He thinks you're cute.
Who's Val?
She sounds pretty.
So anyway, the problem is the fine folks that we have elected to Congress for the past 8 years have decided to do zero things. Okay, and this isn't
literally
zero things, except for investigate vaginas and Hillary Clinton, which
and deny any black person in the world the ability to get anything done.
Right.
Almost.
Right.
If they could have put a stomp on everything a black person was doing anywhere.
So I feel like every time I sit down in front of my computer, there's Cory Booker again addressing Congress, again saying, we need judges. Like, here's the list of judges that we need to approve. For all of these lower courts, like all of these district courts, all of these federal judges that we desperately need. And then he points out that, you know, if you say you're going in order of when they were recommended, some of these people have waited for the better part of a year, 2 years. And then all of a sudden, mysteriously, why are you skipping over the black guys? Like, and he's standing there in the Senate, like, why are you skipping over these African-American senators who have waited, or judges who have waited the longest for their confirmation? And it's so weird. Why are you skipping over these people that seem to be in important electoral states?
Right.
What in the hell is going on?
Yeah. What in the hell is going on? I know when there's an Aretha cue.
Yeah. Got you. I've got you. So it's not just one judge that's being obstructed by Congress. It's not... there are so many things being obstructed.
Yeah.
So many things. Budgets are being obstructed.
From the bottom up.
Our justice system is being strangled. Vote for all of the things.
All of the things.
Oh,
and know what you're
that?
Voting for.
Yeah. And by and large, I think my rule of thumb...
Hey, Mama Di.
If I'm not 100% sure or know anything wonderful about the incumbent candidate, they're out.
Yeah.
Sick of them.
Sure.
Right, no, there. That's fair.
I have it under Aretha, not just what in the hell, so I'm probably going to change that.
It's important to know that's her version of Les Miserables. That's how Aretha beautifully summarizes Les Miserables.
To address the chat room, Annette is very confused and now thinks that Rachel Maddow is actually a man.
No.
She look a little bit like a 14-year-old boy in the same way that I do.
And she and I could, except for the hairline, she and I could have the same hair depending on the time of day.
Oh, sure you could.
Yeah.
Sure you could.
In the movie I watched yesterday, you put a turban on him, put a turban on her, she'd be a handsome boy.
Sure, you take the hashback, I'll take the one on the toilet.
I've considered a Rachel Maddow costume for Halloween.
Oh!
So many things
my hair
go
is exceptionally
that.
Long right now.
And like,
so
you
I
just
figure,
take the hat off, and then it's...
All I need to do is do like a little side part.
Yeah. Black jacket.
And a blazer and jeans. And
a little eyeshadow. You got to get the eyeshadow just right.
Yeah, that's right.
She does do a good
that's
eyeshadow.
True. That's true.
I've been trying to follow her pattern to see if I could pull it off myself.
I would not say eyeshadow. I think she's a mascara and a light liner.
And liner
girl.
Kind of a girl, probably.
Yeah. I think eyeshadow's too much.
Really?
I think I see it like a blue.
That's a pretty lesbian standard, too. So I feel
I'm not going to fight you, but I think for TV, she does. Because you can tell she's got she's got foundation on.
Oh,
you
yeah,
can
yeah,
tell
yeah.
that because the line is.
She's doing the girl. She does the girl that doesn't wear makeup, where you do
yeah, like me
a lip liner, a some mascara, and
mascara,
a
and
drop of eyeliner.
I actually.
I mean, your picture up there in the black and white.
Well, that's a caricature.
She also has a turkey neck, but
I think that's just a shadow.
That's true. It might not actually be a turkey.
Okay, back to the Supreme Court justices.
Go ahead.
There have not always been nine.
Ooh.
According to history.com, the Constitution established the Supreme Court but left it to Congress to decide how many justices should make up the court. In 1789, the Judiciary Act from Congress set the number at six, a chief and five associates. In 1807, Congress increased the number to seven. 1837, the number was bumped to nine. In 1863, it rose to 10, and in 1866, came back down to 7, which, in a shitty, shitty move, that's fantastic. So they brought the number back down to 7 to prevent Andrew Johnson from appointing anyone.
Oh,
Congress said, well, we think we only need 7, so fuck you, you don't get any nominees. 3 years later, they raised the number again to 9, so it's up to Congress how many Supreme Court justices we get.
And there really is no set. No,
and there's nothing in the Constitution. The Constitution says we have to have a Supreme Court, but it's Congress's job to figure out how many.
Wow.
I'm sorry. It's a charming show. Continue on. I just found something that just threw
our most loyal listener.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clayton McKee.
Right, absolutely.
Well, sometimes you accuse me of not paying attention.
Sorry.
But I'm going to say, okay, I have
Who's
to say.
Screaming?
I have to say these two pictures.
Oh.
Hang on, I've got to do. Continue on. I'm going to pull these pictures.
All right,
here
you,
just
pull,
a second,
you pull your
because
pictures.
Because I just found something that's very funny.
So that was our real time fact check on Supreme Court. You're welcome.
Well, so it will be curious to see how it all goes down. And I've only seen the beginning part of the debate, but it seems like this might go another round of not having any talk of the Supreme Court in it, which is one of the things that Republicans are very pissed off about, which I thought would be the other way. I thought Democrats would be more upset about it, but I guess Republicans want it brought up, want Trump to bring that into the debate somehow to get to Supreme Court justices because of the abortion issue.
Sure.
Roe v. So Wade stuff. they want to, because you know, now the conservative,
you can't be a Republican unless you're dying to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Right. Unless you're in my drink.
Right.
And if and I have to apologize. I was going to put this in entertainment, but we'll bring it up here because we're kind of talking about it. Samantha Bee, for like anyone all over the world, she used to be on The Daily Show. She's one of the funniest women going. She's the only late night talk show host. She's only on once a week, but it's called.
She's the only female late night talk show host.
Up front. Oh, did I say? Oh, I'm sorry.
Full Frontal.
Mm-hmm.
Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. I was catching it just occasionally. So they had a repeat on because she's really going to be on tomorrow night. They moved her for 2 weeks for the debates.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday they played a repeat where she talked about the fact that for a big swath of like 50 years, Christians stayed out of elections because they thought it was unseemly. And then they got them in.
I miss those days.
And it was because of, it's not because of Roe v. Wade. It's the same year, but they were actually against integrating Bob Jones University. So they were trying to find a way to keep black people out of Bob Jones University, and they got Christians voting. And then once they got it started, they realized, like, oh, God.
Oh, crap.
Now we're racists, so we have to find something else. So they did, like, a poll to find out what they should coalesce behind so that they weren't just keeping black kids out of school because they realized
as Lincoln's rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was the thing, and it was about segregation and like turning us into an apartheid.
And Martin Luther King.
And so that really is how the conservative base, and then they just latched onto abortion as an afterthought.
And haven't let
and
it
Anita
go.
Bryant.
And haven't let go. So if you get a chance to watch Samantha Bee, it's kind of like, turns out The Daily Show put out some smart shows, but, you know, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Up Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, just hard-hitting. She's not fucking around. She's taking a lot of criticism for the fact that she's being so biased. And she's like, fuck it. They have Fox. I have one night a week. Get over it.
Right.
Sure.
And they're saying,
and she's like, on TBS.
But they're saying
not everybody can get her.
They're coming across a little bit that what's she going to do after the election? I'm like, well, it's the same thing we talked about this 4 years ago. It's the same thing that happens after
there's a vacuum in December. Right. And yeah.
Where everybody's like, why are our ratings down here? We should fire people and hire new people. No, you just got to settle down.
Right.
Nice. Everybody.
Because everyone realized it's almost election. Thanksgiving uh-huh. and we need to stop being hateful to everyone.
Right. Well, and there's nothing to do. Once whatever happens on the 9th, there's nothing to do until the 20th of January anyway. Right. I mean, basically, nothing. Like you said, everybody goes to their corners and waits uh-huh. and then.
Eats a lot of turkey.
Starts to right? bitch again on the 21st of January when yeah. you know, the new whatever.
I can't wait for the turkey.
Going back to our Rachel Maddow thing. Now, Rachel, as you listen to this show, and I know you do every week, I want you to know that I love you dearly. I will always.
I can't wait
until
she actually finds this show.
When she, well, someday. So what I found
but
was
you keep sending it to her.
I didn't. I did find before and after pictures.
Oh God!
I did find a before and after picture. So apparently, this is one like this is a before of Rach. You know, before she goes to the air, and then there's the after. So for those of you who are in the chat
now,
room,
she does do a smoky eye.
I think yep. she yeah. does a smoky eye.
So yeah. she does a little touch of eyeshadow there.
She doesn't yeah. do shit. She shows up in cargo Somebody. Shorts and Converse, yeah, right, and she sits right. in a chair. And
but I'm so happy with it.
I date him.
Sure. Are you kidding?
Like looking him in a
you
mirror.
Put a you put a blazer on that fucker. I'm
now,
in.
Really? Now, Kat Carlson, you're halfway home there for your Halloween
Seriously.
Costume. You are.
All we gotta do is just say hi. I'm Rachel Maddow.
So all we gotta do is
and somehow she turns into my like doughy white boy guy.
We put,
you know what I mean?
We put a little eyeshadow on you and a jacket. Boom. There you are.
Jackets.
There you are. We're done. We're good. I'm so happy with that.
She is part of the Jackets Coalition.
Started by Susie Orman.
Oh my mm-hmm.
Family savings jackets.
Jackets. Yeah. I wonder if we should take financial
People
advice
first,
from Rachel Maddow.
Then money.
Then jackets.
I forgot about that.
Susie Orman.
Oh, I do enjoy some Susie Orman. I
what
sometimes
happened to her? She's still around.
A lot of times I'll stumble across her on PBS.
She got married and like took off and
on PBS.
She's
still doing her late night stuff. She can get the DVD set if you watch long enough.
Shut
you can,
the front door.
Oh no, she's there. I do get a kick out of her.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But
she's a good time.
Then I saw.
I have something to admit.
Oh,
her shit.
Al just
have
Al
you
Perkins.
Read her book?
No, I've never actually seen Susie Orman. I only know her from
SNL.
What? Oh, some night I'm going to send you a link.
Not based on SNL, but it just always cracks me up because
she's a much less Jesus-y version of what the fuck is his name? The debt-free guy.
Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Oh.
So she's a not Jesus version and a well-jacketed version.
She's a non-Jesus jacket lesbian version.
I only know her from
Dave
SNL.
Ramsey. So yeah,
and, she's been on like a TV show.
She had
this
show and like radio shows and podcasts and stuff where people would call in and they'd be like, hey, so I make $11,000 a year and I want to go on vacation to Barbados. Can I afford it?
Yeah, no.
And she'd like reads out one side and down the other and goes, honey, you can't afford your rent. You can't go to
Barbados.
The
only thing I really did know about her was she was the one that told everybody to buy houses while it was all like in the shit, and then they all lost their houses because of her. And
oh,
then
yeah.
she came back after and was like, yeah, maybe not so much.
Maybe I missed that, missed that yeah. guess. Who could have guessed? Who could have guessed?
I only know her from SNL.
Oh, let's see. I'm trying to find. I got the power. Oh, these aren't really good jackets, though. These aren't her
jackets.
She does.
Are you bringing up Susie?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, while you're bringing up pictures, an interesting trivia, because I am listening to that presidential podcast that puts Al to sleep, and I found out that my my supervisor or whatever at my book fair job has been, unbeknownst to me, listening to the exact same podcast.
Oh.
I was very excited to find out that we're like the same kind of nerd. But in any event, we were talking about, and a lot of people kind of speculate that Barack Obama should be nominated to the Supreme mm-hmm. Court.
Or Michelle.
And that he would be... There is precedent for this, actually. As it turns out, William Howard Taft was America's 27th president and was on the Supreme Court.
Oh. Interesting. I know. Nicely done.
Look at that. Information. Thank you, history.com.
Look at the good you do.
Information over
History.com.
I think it should be Michelle.
Huh?
I think Michelle should run for... 2020. Follow the Hillary Clinton track. I think she should settle down wherever, become a senator,
save all of her emails,
run for president.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Right, pick a state, yeah. But then it was just a stroke of luck that there was a New York State
mm-hmm.
Senate seat that was coming open in 2000. That was like, and they had nowhere to live. Like you combine like so many different things kind of had to move into place.
That kind of came together.
Because you have to go in as a carpetbagger. I mean, that's the problem with Hillary's campaign was, like, you're like where
have,
is she
I have
from?
No roots. Because
she was
New
like
York,
the first
right.
lady of Arkansas, but she's really from Illinois, and now she was a senator from New York. Like,
sure.
She kind of just, you know, any place I hang my hat is home.
I think the Obamas end up back in Illinois. I think.
So you have to wait for a seat to open there if they go back there, or, you know,
All you have to do is have a D
yeah. by your name, and you'll win in Maryland. Like, that's not a... If they choose Maryland, if they choose Virginia, it's a good time to be a Democrat, a senator from Virginia.
For those of you who don't are unfamiliar with who Susie Orman is, here's a picture of actual... That's Susie Orman.
Jackets. And
she's jackets. Got jackets there. Jackets. Another promo shot of Susie Orman is here.
Now this is
Kristen Wiig awesome, from Saturday Night Live being Susie
Orman. And I
Orman.
Couldn't remember if it was Kristen Wiig or not. Oh God.
It's funny.
It is funny.
Yes. But true.
Yeah, because it was I've seen her on like talk shows and stuff where she's mm-hmm. like hawking a book or something. Mm-hmm. She was on The View quite a bit. So that's the only place I really knew her, but I've never actually was it called The Susie Orman Show?
Yes.
Like,
uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I actually enjoy it because I actually have learned a few things from her by watching. Other people ask questions. You know, a lot of things.
As long as you started in 2009.
I haven't been watching that long, but...
Because she gave everybody the wrong advice and, like, sent them right into the shooter.
No, but she's actually caused me to ask questions with regards to, like, you know, inheritance and different things of, like, if you're being given something upon somebody's death, remember, I'm inheriting things.
What do we do with all those lawnmowers that seem to come his way?
Different things I inherit. I like to make sure that I'm covered. I like to make sure that everything's, you know, secure. Should there be a zombie apocalypse, I want to make sure that all my inheritance is good.
And we just got breaking news from Amina. This is news to me. The African Union has issued a travel advisory warning all African citizens against traveling to America. Based on
current elections?
Donald Trump.
That's so nice.
I mean, for one.
Let's go live to our,
nice.
Our reporter.
Hostile environment.
Yeah.
Our roving reporter, Amina, right. Please.
If I could call you right now, we'd go live right now to Africa. Wouldn't that be great?
Amina,
if we
could just I'm interested in that. Do you have a link to more information on that? Will you post that in the chat room?
What is this? Pam and Jan's feet. Female specific barbershop. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I'm lost.
I got lost.
It's apparently in Tempe AZ, and I really want to go there now. I'm in need of a haircut.
And Kat's
can I get the Rachel Maddow?
Oh,
yeah. And Kat's going to teach Clayton how to create a link for the chat room that opens in a new window, specifically on the YouTube page, she says parenthetically.
We will address that in the post production meeting.
Okay, what? I missed
all
of that.
Molly, the bartender, has great taste in shirts.
Oh, since Molly's listening right now, we should all start eating something crunchy.
Okay, let me crunch.
Everybody eat something.
Crunch, 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 crunch. I was forced to quote Molly earlier today.
Oh, how?
You in danger,
wasn't
girl.
About the gorilla sex, was it?
No.
Okay.
What was it about?
Let's go to my news feed and find out what it was. She said something particularly meaningful
I'm sure
today.
Kat, we'll come back to that.
No.
Yeah. At 10:30.
I
want to
know
all
what's funny.
10:30. Oh, because his moment of zen today.
Yeah.
Not related to Molly at all. Oh. His thing was his annuals. You're not done having sex with a gorilla until the gorilla is done.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No relation to Molly at all.
Thank you.
Those topics really just butted up against each other.
I know. Punctuation is very important. Yeah. I should have separated those with a period and a pause and then something else.
So I'm quoting Molly quoting her girlfriend on Mike Pence. He's like the high school gym coach that, for some reason, always seemed to need something from the girls' locker room. And no one wanted to be around him except the girl in your class with daddy issues. That girl is Donald Trump.
That's funny.
I just thought that was brilliant.
Well, speaking
that girl is Donald Trump.
That girl.
Speaking of Cheeto Jesus, you can imagine. Just
I'm getting more coffee.
Just 4 minutes ago, because I'm not sure if everyone knew, but our friend Cheeto Jesus Trump was live tweeting.
Did he?
Yep. The VP debate, and it looked for the most part like staffers had control of that. They had some prepared graphics. They had some hashtags ready. I feel like Donald Trump had nothing to do with that, but the most recent tweet says, Mike Pence won big. We should all be proud
Bigly.
Of Mike.
Bigly.
Clearly he won. This is my favorite thing. Like, even when you lose horribly, we won.
We won.
We won.
I think we won, so we won.
I'm going to do that.
Oh, and I have to say, like, all of the across the board this
Thanks,
week,
Sarah.
Newscasters have found their balls.
Oh, they have.
Because all
Thank
of them are like,
God.
Because the people running the campaigns are very often professional pollsters.
Mm-hmm.
So when the professional pollsters are quoting those things where you can vote for, like, who's your favorite Spice Girl kind of shit, and you can just keep voting and voting, it's like American Idol voting.
American
you can vote
Idol.
Up to 20
That's
times.
Right.
You listen
That's
to Keeping
right.
Your Top 100
You can super vote. Yeah, yeah. You can super vote.
Data rates may apply.
But I've also been watching all the news shows, and that's exactly what Kellyanne, whatever her name is, that is exactly her job. She is a pollster.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to be sitting there trying to, like, do these online polls that aren't scientific, and for her to be quoting them, and, like, the one newscaster was like, I will never take you seriously again if you continue this train of thought. And she's like, he's like, you are a professional.
Entertainment Weekly is not a poll. It's not a scientific poll.
And I can't remember which one it was, because Chuck Todd went after Trump's other guy. But the one that went after Kellyanne, and he was like, we're friends. We've known each other a long time, but you cannot sit
Sounds
on
like
a
Chris
news.
Matthews.
He's like, this is a news program.
Sure,
you cannot on a news program say that, and I can't invite you back in 3 months when you have some other job.
Right.
Because you will lose all of your credibility as a pollster while you're quoting this as real. And she was like, but the people, and he's like, Kellyanne, you got to just do it. He's like, it's a news program and you're going to need this job soon. And she just, like, talked about something else. But it was so weird to see somebody
she's
like.
She's such a Stepford wife. Oh, she's just a glaze.
Oh, wait, and Kate McKinnon, you've got to watch Family
it was
Feud.
One of the funniest fucking things.
I've got it so
I just was not Jesus. Ready for someone to imitate her. Like, I didn't see it coming.
No.
Or how imitatable she was. It's kind of like the first time somebody does Drew Barrymore, and you're like, oh, she really is freaky.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to imitate
really,
there.
You don't see it until somebody else does it. Yeah. You're like, oh.
Well, and when you just watched her as Hillary, and so you have that in your mind, and all of a sudden this person goes to
a whole different
another character, and was she was so good. God, it was fucking funny.
Well, I have not watched that just yet. I watched the first part and the first two bits. The open with the debate, and then the second one when they went live to Miami for the sinkhole, and the whole thing about the guy with the hot girl.
Wife, yeah.
God damn it, it was funny to me. So
and it's funny that Margot Robbie knows what she's selling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a whole lot else there.
Here's what I'm selling. I'm pretty.
Oh my God, this is everything I've ever
Kate
needed.
And Kate McKinnon truly has become even more than I thought she was my favorite. Yeah. My favorite.
And I told you, that was one of the most well-deserved Emmy wins in a long time.
Well, when she went on to play that role of the older gal, and she's like, well, here are my boobs. Is that what? Margot Robbie couldn't. Like,
yeah.
She did it was like Harvey Korman and Tim Conway. The laugh, it was fantastic. Oh,
and,
my God, I loved it.
We'll just stop on Saturday Night Live for a minute. Because lead up to... No. We're not doing anything we're supposed to be doing. The lead up to...
I didn't think we would tonight. I thought this would just go in its own little path tonight.
The lead up to the SNL episode was an old one. And they did the Bruno Mars one from Halloween of 2012. And it's right before Superstorm Sandy hit, so they're all still in a good mood. Okay. Like, they're not lighting candles. So Bruno Mars is going, well, they bring out Stefan, who I hadn't seen episode in a while.
Yeah.
And he's talking about where to go to New York for Halloween, and he talks about that there's the Jewish Dracula, and he's like, and Seth's like, okay, the Jewish Dracula. He's like, well, you know how the black Dracula's called Blackula? He's like, yeah. He's like, you know what the Jewish Dracula's called? He's like, no. Stu Tepperstein. And I have to tell you, because I want them to do a making of Stefan, because I think he just reads it as he goes. I think they do it as like a bit where, okay, we're going to put up the cards because John Mulroney, who had his own show, wrote them for him and would throw shit in. Because you could just see him read the card, lose his shit, and then they all lost it. And it was just one of those like moments of like,
what was the name again?
Like it was like Stu Saperstein.
That's funny.
Oh,
I like it.
It was absolutely. It was just such a well-timed joke.
That is funny.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about a game called again. What's that called again? 420,
720,
270.
420.
The winning number.
220, 221, whatever
it takes. It should be 420 before they add up to 270.
So Kat is playing it. Here's a screenshot of the game she's playing.
US 270. So it's not
explain it.
Right.
It's not a game, but I mean,
it's a game now.
Okay.
So this is the electoral map, mm-hmm. and you can see clearly blue would be
dark
Democrats.
Blue means
committed,
almost right.
almost a non-starter. Like, don't even start the conversation.
Right,
Democrat.
Right,
dark red is Republican. The lighter the red, the less likely. The lighter the blue, the more it could come into contention. Yeah. But yellow
and
is
yellow are those toss-up states. Now that's where everybody gets to. And I don't know if this is an accurate prediction as of right now.
It's not, because Ohio is probably gonna end up going to Trump.
Yeah.
Iowa stays a toss up. Virginia's pretty much finished.
But we're trying to get as far as Georgia, that's becoming that big thing. The Georgia governor. But the Georgia governor is really promoting, apparently, for Hillary. Like, come on down here. They have 18, right, in Ohio?
Yeah.
They have 18. We have 16. It's super close. This could happen.
He thinks he can swing.
And he thinks that he can help her swing it, yeah.
They pretty much, we'll have to see. As everything starts to swing back the other way, as the debate bump goes on, Georgia's been out of reach for a while. But the good news is Virginia, because of Tim Kaine, has kind of... both campaigns have pretty much left Virginia. So Virginia's enjoying something called silence for the first time as far as the campaign goes.
That's really
because
true.
Almost everybody's left the state as like Trump's way has to go without Virginia because the polls, the Tim Kaine thing is working in his favor, just like Indiana is not in play at all. But so it's a fun game, and I do it every day.
I would say the fun thing about the app is then you can click on each individual state and change its swing.
And pick your path.
And see what the map would look like.
Wasn't it Maddow that was doing that and said, here's the scary part? Was that or was that
and you can't get
something else
easily.
I was watching where it was 269 votes?
Oh, no, right.
And
she did
where
that.
It came up for the Supreme Court.
Right, that's where she was talking about the Supreme Court.
Because who made it an even fucking number?
Yeah.
Right.
And again, it's the House of Representatives that decides.
Right.
If no one gets 270.
The Supreme Court only decides if it's contested. Like, if it's within a half a...
Bush score.
Each state has their own rule about when they go into recount. Now, is it a certain number of votes? Is it a percentage of the vote?
And you can only litigate it if... God, I love podcasts.
Yeah, me too.
You can only litigate it like...
Others, not this one, others.
No. You can only litigate and sue over the election. So Donald Trump, when he's a sore loser, can only sue over the election if they can prove that something went wrong.
Wrong.
I.e. the hanging chad. Like there was a faulty elections device or process that's what they were kind of suing over, and that was their in to get the recounts and to get that into court.
Right, because to get it into court, because they automatically at a certain in each state is different as to how close, if it's a number of votes, if it's a percentage of the vote, that they automatically have to do a recount when it hits that number, which is why Florida didn't release their outcome in 2012 till like 3 or 4 days later. But luckily Obama won by so much that Florida never mattered. Like, Florida wasn't counted. Right. They announced the election at like 9:15 or our time.
Our time,
yeah.
Right.
Like 11:15 East Coast time without Florida. And Florida didn't give its actual vote total until Friday, I think. I think it was Friday at the close of the news cycle. So you can go without it. And it depending on how that map works, like, Florida, again, may not matter.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that it's going. But with Trump looking like he's going to win Ohio, that's kind of a scary prospect.
Yeah.
But everything else is slipping. Ohio, strangely, is in his camp, but everything else is kind of...
Who knows what's going on in Ohio?
But we have 35 days.
Amina was asking about Portland. I'm sorry, Clayton.
Yeah, no.
As far as Portland and what's Oregon like and all of that, and would Klan be... In Oregon, would the KKK be there?
I think
anywhere, and think about it, the Oregon militia standoff. I mean, like within Oregon, and I don't know Portland.
And I've recently done a little interviewing of a Portland. I don't know what you call her, but she's from Portland.
Portlandia.
She's a Portland native, and she was saying that it's like every other state, like Arizona, like Phoenix, very very blue. Very modern, up to date, but just walk outside the border. Mm-hmm. So the rest.
I was in Fountain Hills this week, and I was like, "This is really step."
Yeah,
that, which is why Trump's really event was out there.
Yep. Right. Yeah. And so the big cities have that feeling. That's the Portland, the Eugene, the college towns are usually more liberal, more left-leaning, sure, more tolerant, and then, you know, you just go into the woods and find the country folk, and mm-hmm. I mean, not to lump them all together,
but as it turns out, college education a lot of times gives you a whole lot more empathy and a whole lot more
broad scope to look through. Sure.
Yeah. It's like reading or travel. It opens up your mind and new things and new people.
Yeah. It's wild. Wild.
Like, but then, you know, it's like trying to teach a 70-year-old orangutan empathy. Well, the orangutan probably would get it, but
has a lot of.
I just realized I was insulting an orangutan for no reason.
I thought we were going back to gorillas. I wasn't sure how we were going to make that circle.
I think you're only done with the sex when the orangutan's done, too. I think we can pick a couple different animals. Donkey.
Mm. Well, here we go with a bad segue. Kat, what you been doing this week?
Oh, my God.
How's your gorilla?
Wow.
Oh, there you have it.
Oh,
Sorry, I didn't mean anything by that.
What did we do? On Sunday, we went and saw In the Heights at Phoenix Theater. Oh, my God, it's so good. Are you kidding? How could it not be? But you know what? And I think we had talked about it here. There was, before it opened, there was some like fuss, and it was kind of stemming and overflowing from some fuss in Chicago about casting that musical. Mm-hmm. Because they had, here in Phoenix, they had cast a Middle Eastern man as the principal.
Is it Navi?
Usnavi.
Usnavi.
Yeah, because his parents, when they immigrated, saw it on the side of a ship.
Mm-hmm.
Usnavi.
Oh, U.S. Navy. Oh, that's
funny.
It's a very clever thing, but yeah, that's how that character got his name. So originated by Lin-Manuel Miranda, or LM Squared, as I've taken to calling him.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize we were having to do like acronyms or abbreviate
after she
now.
Gets done Listen, with Cory Booker, she goes, after she gets done with CB, she calls
So C-Book, right.
Yeah.
C-Book.
Well, C-Book.
Books, as I like to call it.
LM squared.
Yeah. Listen, books.
Books.
That's what I like to call it.
Booker!
But yeah, so originated by LM squared. So the production came here to Phoenix and they cast this Middle Eastern guy. Okay, great. You know, and there was fuss that there weren't enough Hispanic, there weren't enough Puerto Rican actors, there weren't enough true to the ethnicity of the character actors being cast. This guy looked, and more importantly, sounded so freakily
like
LM squared.
Yep.
So
I thought the same thing.
We got to intermission and we're looking around because I took the Boozy Moms and company.
Oh.
So we did a big group buy. We had 33 tickets. So we brought a couple of families and all of our kids and the whole thing. And had a really great time. Phoenix Theater is great. We went early and had drinks in the little bar there. You know, made a great Sunday afternoon out of it. And we got to intermission and we're like, is anybody else kind of freaked out by how much he sounds like him?
Yeah.
Freaky. So it was so good. We're very like energized and excited about Phoenix Theater. You know, the consensus is the same here in Phoenix. Local listeners, like, we hate Gamage. We hate Gamage so much. Like, the big shows come, the touring shows come there, but, ugh, I hate that theater. It's too big. You can't see anything. Phoenix Theater, even their big theater, is small theater.
There's like, bad seat in the house.
Not a bad seat in the house.
And they pull off really tough shows. They pulled off Les Mis and gave you all you needed out of that monster.
I believe it.
That war horse.
I'm sold. If anybody tells me that they've got an extra ticket to anything at Phoenix Theater, I'm there.
Oh, I've been a supporter first through friends. I mean, I had gone a couple times, then I became friends with quite a few people that were employed by them, and they have knocked it out of the park on so many different tough shows. They pulled off Into the Woods once, and
that's fantastic.
Tricky from staging to storytelling to.
I saw Valley Youth do that fairly well though one time. Mm-hmm.
And I saw it at Stagebrush years ago, and a little community theater pulled that off. And that's what kind of those same people kind of brought it to a because the same people that do Stagebrush did Valley Youth for a while, and they did Paintbrush. That I can't remember what the kids. Scottsdale's got a kids theater too that's called like Paint Your Wagon or something.
Something.
There's a musical called that.
Some shit, but it is. And it's a great space, and they bring in talent from all over the place.
And there's another reason that I think it's kind of important, and I'm on my soapbox about this week, about supporting Phoenix Theater and other local theaters here in the Valley, is that art doesn't support itself. Like, if we want better theater and great art in our city, we have to go see what we've got now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it gets better when we go show up to it. So if you get a chance, and you're local, go see all the shows at the Phoenix Theater or other theaters. Go to Arizona Broadway or go to, you know, Scottsdale something. There's something in Scottsdale. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, there's...
Well, Stagebrush is over there. Or is that...
Stagebrush. There's the one up on the... The one that Rob was just in, the theater production, the City of Angels, up on the upper, on the west side. I would say upper west side like that happened, but it's on the west side of Phoenix. And I cannot think of what the
name. One in Peoria?
You know, the Broadway theater that I went to a couple weeks ago.
The dinner theater?
No, it's not a dinner theater. Stages, maybe it's called. I can't remember. Yeah. But I mean, that production of City of Angels was fantastic. And another, a really tough show when half of it's in color and half of it's in black and white. And people are playing two parts.
Are you talking about Sagebrush?
No, that's in Scottsdale.
Scottsdale.
But this one's in up in the West Valley. I can't think of what it's called. But I just saw a couple of productions up there.
Glendale, Peoria, somewhere over there.
Yeah, and it eludes me. Doug and I went, and I can't remember. They pulled off City of Angels. A really tough fucking show to have people walk across from the part that's in color into the part that's in black and white, playing the same character, and in the middle of one song... A woman goes from playing one part to playing the other and changes her whole color scheme, and they got it. Like, they got it with lighting, they got it with costumes, like, they did it on a shoestring budget, and it was very entertaining.
That's really cool.
So, I mean, the bar is pretty high. In the Heights calls for a lot, and that's what's sometimes missing from local theater, is, like, a lot of depth in your male cast.
Mm-hmm.
Boys in theater is kind of... There's not a lot of them to choose from a lot
that
of times.
That reminds me to make a note. I have to figure out where in the world John Maldonado is going to be doing shows so I can stock. Yeah. I mean, so I can make sure to get tickets for all those shows that he's going to do. That's the cute boy that was in Pageant that I saw a few weeks ago.
So whenever they pull off something, it's always good to first support it, B, give them credit,
and get that word of mouth out. Wherever you are, if you're not here in Arizona, if you're... Wherever you are, find your nearest local theater.
Mm-hmm.
Go see some stuff.
Some
of it might be terrible, but the tickets are going to be cheap. It's it's a fun way to spend an evening or an afternoon.
But one of the only ways to make it get better is to support it even through the bad times and let them get a budget going, and then they can they can buy bigger, better sets. They can do more productions.
If they have the budget, they can become a season ticket subscriber.
They can buy the rights to shows because a lot of you just can't do a production.
Right,
you've got to pay for that production. You've got to pay somebody royalties to do not only the story but then the music. So yeah, it's not cheap to do all that. Aside from the fact you've got the space, the costuming, and everything else that goes along with it.
I agree.
And live theater is just the best.
Oh, it is. It's fun, fun.
There's just absolutely no. There's no way around it to get that immediate give and take between the audience feeding off your energy and you feeling they love me and I love them.
Take some friends,
because
as much as I love going to theater
and I love
with
you
just Sharon and I,
we all just love each
other.
That's
because we all got another love.
But no, as much as I like going with Sharon and making it, you know, a thing the two of us get to go do together, having a big group of friends share that experience together, just adds layers.
Yeah, and it's always better when the bunch of people have read the same book, you've seen the same movie, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I tell people, that's one of the reasons that, Silence of the Lambs always stuck with me, because I just reached kind of, the adult part of my life where it was, dinner parties were now a thing, and going somewhere and having, discussing something was a thing. It wasn't just, pound liquor till you throw up. And it was
who's liquor?
Yeah, but pound that fucker.
Why is he making you throw up?
So it really was the zeitgeist of that time of talking about safety for, and it went into so many different places. I remember going to different parties and having a conversation about where was a safe place to park? What do you do with your car? Should you go into a parking garage? It went down to that level, or it was serial killers are everywhere. You know what I mean? It went so many different places. And but it's the same with theater. If everybody's kind of seen the same thing or is listening to the same thing, more people can talk about it.
Absolutely.
Marn.
Yeah.
What has happened to you since we last saw you?
Not a bunch.
Okay. and that's good. I'd rather nothing happen than a bunch of bad things happen.
Not a bad thing. Went to the only theater, small theater kind of thing, went to Mesa Arts.
Center
for the Arts.
Awesome.
And one of Aaron's old students was in a play, and really quite good. I mean, considering it was just this little, they're like, well, you'll have to sit in the balcony and whatever, because I met Aaron there. Go ahead and sit in the balcony. So I'm figuring it's this big place when I go in there.
Because you're used to damage-sized theaters. Right.
Oh. And I walk in there and I'm like, why can't I just fucking walk right down there? Because, you know, it's not going to disrupt anything. So... Anyway, maybe not even 100 seats.
Right.
I wouldn't think, maybe even less. But it was a good production. Little Princess or something like that. I'll have to look it up. But it was cute. And they did the lead girl that's in it was really quite something. And I looked at Erin. I mean, her poise, everything about her. I said, we're going to see her somewhere. Hmm. Like everything from her voice to acting skills. I truly was like, I believed her.
Yeah,
everything about it. So, and she was maybe seventh grade. It was young girls. It was so it was neat. We went and we did that, something different. And you know, watched football yesterday. That was kind of enjoyable. Shocking. Last night.
I still haven't bought into it's fall yet. I don't know what's wrong. If it's just that my schedule's been so
the nights aren't lovely screwy. Enough to get you into fall mode.
No, and I saw a little bit of the Sunday night game. Mm-hmm. I saw a little bit of the Monday night, but neither mm-hmm. one were on purpose.
Sure.
But I'm like all set for my Sunday all day football day, but it just hasn't kicked in yet.
Sure. No, I completely see that. But yeah, that was very fun.
Your play was called A Little Princess.
A Little Princess. Thank you.
Thank God you're here. My gosh.
It has to be.
Real time fact checking.
Yeah, I like it.
Ooh,
I like it.
Very good.
Nicely done. Up to date.
For those of you listening later, it was actually fact checked in real time.
Right now.
Though you're listening on delay, it was checked in real time. The show was done live.
Listeners of the future.
Listeners of the future. The listeners of tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Please know. So, but yeah, that we did that, and just otherwise, it's just been work. Just kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of crazy work stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I found a new sushi restaurant. I'm like Christopher Columbus discovering something that's already there.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Is it the one that's
you
kitty corner
go,
from
Chrissy, you go.
It's the old Macy's.
Is that what they put in there?
We can almost reach it from here.
Yeah,
close.
So it's right over there. It's a comfortable walking distance, but a really easy bike ride over. So I went there again before the show today to have a little snack, and
feel like we should schedule a production meeting.
I think so. Well, based on what he said, the specials were.
Well,
it sounds lovely.
I honestly didn't remember who likes it and who doesn't, because I was going to invite him, but I'm like, he doesn't eat fish though, so that wouldn't be
bullshit.
Good. But then I remembered, you do love shrimp.
I pretty much eat about everything.
It's you that doesn't eat fish, right?
I don't like fish, but I would eat shrimp. Like I can go for sushi stuff. Like
you put enough rice and soy sauce on that bitch, I'm in.
No.
Oh, and wasabi?
And wasabi, yeah.
I'm going to be able to breathe for a week.
California rolls. California rolls I love. And shrimp stuff.
So you like sushi if it's disguised.
I like crab with a K.
Yeah. Well, the California rolls are on the happy hour menu. So, I mean, it really, it's...
I've tried some different things, because Erin loves all that stuff. And I've tried some different things, but if it's too...
Yeah, and I sat there.
I was by myself
today, and I was the old lady. I was the first of the dinner crew.
Right.
So I was just trying different things because I was sitting there with the sushi guy. I was at the sushi bar.
Yeah.
And he let me try different things, and he made stuff. He's like, "We'll just price it out later. We'll figure out what you ate." But he was letting me try different things, and so I told him, "I'm like, I always go with other people, and everyone always picks it out." I'm like, "But this is, you know, I like just about everything. I'm not a big fan of eel. Is the only thing."
Yeah.
Interesting, because I think eel.
But I like eel sauce.
Tastes like
it
chicken.
Turns out
eel sauce is really sweet, right?
Yeah, like the eel sauce pretty much makes everything delicious.
Delicious.
But the one place that I had eel, I was like, oh, like.
Yeah, I've had some eel that's like.
So I don't know. Maybe I had a bit.
Maybe
like,
you should try it again, because I feel like
the only
just...
time I've ever had Indian food. I had to let other people order for me, and like they were people that I would never eat with.
Okay.
Except, I mean, Harrison was there, but she doesn't eat meat. So I'm like, I was like, why are we eating just sauce and bread? Like,
where's the beef?
There's that.
Like, I realize, of course, there's not going to be beef there, but it was just one of those things where like we ate it, and I'm like, okay, people have traveled the world to get this food, and I'm like, I'm just eating sauce and bread for like an hour and a half.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to go. Like, I need to, and I know how I like to eat, so I need to go to an Indian restaurant and be like, all right, listen.
That's
make
correct.
Something I'm going to like, and nothing's off, you know, as long as there's no peaches or olives, I'm in. I'll try it.
Sounds good.
you know, because people have tricked me into Brussels sprouts now. So I'm clearly the doors are open.
I'm still heels in about that one.
Yeah, no, not gonna happen.
They smell like feet. They look like little cabbages.
Found somebody that knows how to cook them in a way that I'm like delightful.
No,
olive oil and lots of garlic.
Yeah,
yeah, uh-huh. Just brush it through and have it. Fuck that. No,
again, disguise the shit out of it.
Disguise the shit out of it.
You could put a shitload of sriracha on that, and I'd still be like, no.
So Indian food's my next thing that I have to go. I have to find like a trusted companion to like guide me through the Indian food because.
Well, I look forward to your update. I feel like I'm okay where Indian food's concerned in that I don't eat it.
You just don't like it. But I hate to.
You know, I've never tried anything that I cared for. I haven't. Okay. I haven't endeavored to like it. I've tried a handful of times and been like. Bleh.
But you also have to go with people that eat like you when you go to restaurants.
Yes,
like, you know.
That's true.
And people always order, and the sushi's always good, but I'm like, I don't really get what we're eating. Like, I'm just reading funny names. Like, I know I didn't actually eat a spicy girl, but
the problem is,
what is it that I just ate? Because I don't wear my glasses, so I can't read that tiny writing. So
the problem is, I don't know a lot of 10-year-old kids that go eat Indian food on a regular basis. So I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to get matches my diet of PB&J and mac and cheese all the time.
That's a good point. But
to take me to eat Indian food.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Anand, what do the children of your people eat? Because that's probably what I would like.
Yeah, and that's what I said. Like, you need someone that knows. Because how I got into Thai food. I was like, oh, God, Thai food. Can't go. And then some friends brought me, and they're like, what do you eat? And I was like, this. And they're like, okay, we can make this fucking thing peanut butter if you need to. Like, we can take it all the way to, like, fish with peanut sauce. So it tastes like it's drowning in peanut butter. And I'm like, how am I going to lose?
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is.
And then they put ginger on everything, and I found out that
I love ginger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ginger sauce, ginger cream, ginger boys. And for you, what did you do?
I don't enjoy the ginger boys. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, they get it done.
Yeah.
Turn the lights on.
And Happy New Year to the Jewish people. Good call.
L'chaim. Well, with the lovely lovely change of weather in the air here in Phoenix, where it's no longer blast furnace temperatures, I've realized it's fall, and I've enjoying the fact that I can be outside again and do things and enjoy it, not just be outside and do it because I have to.
Outdoor
projects. I spent the other day in my workshop with all the doors and windows open, NPR on, enjoying whatever quiz show they were forcing down my throat. Then they went into some other thing, and I ditched it all, and I went to a shuffle everything I ever owned in my iPod day and cleaned and enjoyed the air and the breeze, and it was lovely. I had a great time.
Yeah,
with that.
The weather here is spectacular.
But one of the things that I accomplished, Kat, and this is for you. I hope you enjoy it. Remember, a few weeks ago, one night you were leaving after the show, and you looked at the workbench that I have. By the way, in my house where we do the show from, we enter and exit through the carport, which immediately takes you through my little workshop laundry room, and then you come right in here to Studio C. As you were walking out one night, you looked at an array of like 37 salsa empty salsa jars, and you said to me, "Salsa's not a food group." And I realize that, but I do enjoy some salsa. So, but I wanted to let you know, I cleaned the shop, and I did with those what I wanted to do. And I wanted to share with you what the project outcome was. This is the project outcome.
It's delightful.
Look at that. All those little salsa jars.
Does that look nice?
You put stuff in them, and then you just, you store just miscellaneous stuff in them.
And it makes for a tidy workspace. That's what I noticed.
I did notice the very clean workbench.
Yes,
someone's expecting company.
Yeah.
But no, it's very well. No, but in the winter. But the nice thing is, in the winter, that's why I do a lot more projects because it's not so fucking hot.
Sure,
you want to be outside in the morning. So I accomplished that. I was very proud of myself.
I'm very proud of you.
Got a lot of stuff. Oh, and I bought all those little white, those little clear storage bins that I get. Those little white ones that you've seen like against that wall. I bought 10 more today. I bought 10 or 15 the other day. Oh, they're so fantastic. You can label them and put stuff in it. Then you can see your shit. And if you're not sure, you read the label. It's amazing. I'm enjoying the hell out of having all of this stuff. You just pull this out, Your stuff's all organized. I've been enjoying that. Let's see. Today, I went somewhere today in the city that I've never been. I've driven by 100 times. We all have. But I've not been to it. And I don't think any of you have been to it. And this is a very Central Phoenix thing if you're not from here, which I realize most of you aren't. The garden that's at the corner of Central and Indian School that looks some sort of a hodgepodge all put together.
It's a community garden.
Right, community garden. I didn't realize that the 1 in 10 group has a I guess you call it a plot or an area in there that's designated as theirs. A lot of different corporations and different people have these little gardens that you can go and in the city you can build and do and whatever. I didn't realize that 1 in 10 had one of those. Well, I was actually oddly loading up equipment because I mow their lawn whenever the grass gets high, whatever it is. And I was getting ready to go there and I got an odd text that, hey, if you could, can you go by our garden and weed eat or some bullshit? I wasn't sure what they even were talking about because I didn't know they had it. So today I went to the garden and I went in and did some did a little cleanup work, not much, a little cleanup work for them. They're doing some big thing Thursday and through the weekend where I guess if you drive by, there's going to be a bunch of people everywhere doing whatever it is that they're doing. But they're actively planting in one of the garden plots right now. There are like four people out there manually planting and doing things, which is kind of cool.
But the corporations do it for like health management, not for like you're going to eat the shit you plant, but it's like a stress relief and a time to get outdoors and have a little bit of land to cultivate, and they do it as like a teaching thing to help you grow your own things, but they also do it for like, I guess
stress
people
relief.
Are stress relief.
Sure.
And I know that 1 in 10
almost like a meditation garden almost,
yeah,
if you will.
I read 1 in 10 thing because I have seen I drive by there all the time because I love it. They're on the east side of...
They're on the northeast corner.
Of Central, and then Indian School. That big new... I don't know how long they'll stay there, but there's that new nursery.
That's a full business.
But I have a feeling that somebody's going to put an apartment complex there.
I'll
don't think they're worth it.
I'll tell you the story about that property when we're off the air, and you'll know that that's probably going to be there forever.
Oh, is it because of tainted soil?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, it's because of people that own it.
Oh, I'm like, I just heard the tainted soil story.
But anywho, tainted soil is on the corner of Central and Calback where the gas station, or excuse me, the dry cleaners used to be. That's why they aren't building anything on the other side of the bus, you know, where the trains go, the buses, on that whole corner where the billboard is. All of that's tainted soil because of the dry cleaners that was there for so long.
That's why
that's not being built on. So anywho, I went to the garden thing. I mowed lawns, yada yada. But it was kind of cool. I'd never been there, being inside of it. So it's just different. And I'm thinking the entire time I'm there, I'm like, it would just be cool to have all this land, and it would just be a great big lawn, and I could just go and mow it all the time. But clearly, I don't have the money to buy the land, and it's already occupied with.
I have
people.
A backyard that you can put grass in and mow at your leisure. If that you want to make that your goal,
I don't enjoy your backyard.
I also, have
but
a
you would enjoy it if it was filled with grass. That
no,
you did mowing.
No, it'd be different. I want something I can have to get like a tractor for.
Oh yeah, it's not that.
No, I mean I have a little laundry, not this.
But long. I am thinking of. I guess this is breaking news.
Buying a tract of land. For Clayton,
no, I was saying because that backyard just sits there and it gets like so much appropriate sun, and I really don't give a shit what we do with it. Like, it would be fun to offer people like to have like little gardens back there. Like, what would stop you? No chickens because they're noisy.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like, to grow stuff. Like, why not have, if somebody wanted to, like, tell people, like, you want to grow tomatoes? The gate's always open. I don't lock it. And you could have. Like
you
rows
could have
of whatever.
Community garden in your neighborhood. That's very
better.
Here's
put,
what I
better
see
to
my
put the garden than a pool if you're going to keep that gate open.
Here's what I think the first problem
yeah,
with this is.
You can't keep
is.
The gate open with that.
The first problem with this is. No, it's, not, it's
who's
just
gonna
it's
be,
just
no,
it's
not, who's going to be cleaning it all up?
No, it's just the big thing is you don't like people coming over.
That. That's a good point.
Oh, no, you don't like people coming. I have people over my house all the time.
Oh, but you don't want to just be home and have somebody running through your backyard with a rototiller at any time.
I didn't say you were knocking on my door. You can do whatever the fuck you want to. I sleep.
I just don't
I
see
sleep
it.
Through all that shit. I'm just saying, but it's a space.
Sure.
And I'm not going to be around all the time. But I mean, that gate's always open and they're just sitting there and there's a hose. Knock yourself
and
out.
And sometimes it's interesting to think about that, about how we don't use our personal spaces for anything productive.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. So if there were people in the neighborhood that were like, I'd love to grow some tomatoes. I got a backyard. You can do whatever the fuck you... Don't wake me up.
Yeah. Don't knock on the door no matter how much you're bleeding.
Maybe the Al Perkins Vineyard could start there and you could start doing
it.
No,
I'm just saying, but grow whatever you want.
Your water bill is going to triple, but let's grow some grapes.
It would with a pool, too, but at least...
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about... Well, it'd be a hell of a lot cheaper to do a garden than a fucking pool.
Well, now I know how I'm going to spend headlights. I'm going to look up...
But I really kind of want to offer that around to people because I drive both... Because I think those community gardens, it's so cool.
Yeah,
and
I just
me,
wish
I've
it didn't look
cook,
like a salvage yard. That's
tried to cook
I don't
with
like.
Store-bought tomatoes, and they taste like just nonsense.
There's that.
So if somebody wanted to come over and like just put a tomato on my windowsill for me to eat occasionally, but no, I mean, ever since I saw Mark Martinez's the garden, like his yard is gardens. Like he's got kale growing there, all kinds of tomatoes and onions. Like, and it doesn't take up that much space for these like three or four planters. And Joel does it. He's got a gun. But I'm like, if people want to come over and do it, it'd be kind of a fun way to like get to know the neighbors. Like, you want to plant something back there? Again, do not wake me up.
Right.
But my
don't make it illegal.
But my room's in the. I don't care if you make it illegal either. But
no. But if you make it illegal and it's on your property,
then we're sharing.
Then yeah, oh. You can share and please hide that.
Although we're only 35 days away from that nonsense ending too.
That's true.
We're way over time for hour two, but anyway, we're going to get there, and it goes something like this.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
30 seconds of jelly jiggling fun. This is your 30-second dance break.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network. And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but... If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I think we should use zucchini as our word of the day in honor of my new garden.
Zucchini!
I had no idea what you just yelled.
I was like, concerned.
Huh?
Zucchini! Jeb! That's what I thought we were going to Jeb.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Okay, well then, there we are with that. So zucchini will be the drinking word. Marnie, think
zucchini! In honor of my new community garden that I want to start. Don't wake me up. That's what it'll be called.
It's the No Wake Garden.
Plant what from you Ronco. Want. Don't wake Al.
Whatever you want.
And if you think he might like it, you have to share it.
All right.
So pot, tomatoes, cucumbers.
You know.
Clearly.
To the point where I get gassy and we go through the whole cucumber thing every single summer where I crave cucumbers and then I realize that I'm just farting my way into a new millennium.
Cucumbers make you gassy?
I've never experienced
and
that.
And I thought I was crazy until Mrs. Cal and Angeline, what the shit, Elfie, down the street, has the same problem.
It's really?
I guess it's
that's a thing. No, that's
it's a May birthday thing. Like,
it's a May
horribly,
thing.
Horribly gassy. Like, life-alteringly gassy. To the point where I'm like, I think I should stay home from work.
Oh, you know what I just totally forgot about?
I'm very confused.
Before we go into headlines, I totally forgot this about what I did last week.
Oh.
I did a charity event with Katie June. I totally forgot about
that
this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
We did, for long-term listeners will remember the name of a gentleman named Sean Nerdahl, who used to, or still does, he teaches dance, ballroom dance, and he was with Katie June when she won a couple years ago for the Dancing with the Bars charity event.
Which meant he won, too, in case you're doing that math.
Yeah. No, right. I mean, he was part of the team, but he's been on the show with us before. He's come in. Well, he has continued on with that. He took off from the Dancing with the Bars event, and he got a lot of his clients were wives of and then doctors in the valley. He was teaching them ballroom dancing and the like, and got involved with a charity called Dancing for Stroke. So it's a fundraiser for for survivors or caretakers and assist people assisting others who are stroke survivors with varied motor skill issues and or just, you know, life issues because of their debilitating stroke. So it was a huge event that they started last year. This is the second annual. And they asked us, Katie and I came out and did what they called the red carpet entrance, whereas everybody was coming in all black tie and all their fancy gowns and dresses and so forth. We assumed that they were going to have us like in a hallway and we'd be just like, you know, interviewing these people that they would then edit down to a package into like the show, like when they give out the DVD of the show or something, you know, so everybody could see themselves on camera. Sure. No, that wasn't what it was. It was literally live. They had the sound and all of the big screens in the ballroom that was already set up. They had a live camera with us outside, and they would literally switch and go live to us. And Katie coined it the terracotta carpet because there was no red carpet. It was all just terracotta slate everywhere.
That's fantastic.
So there we were interviewing various people. And the funny thing is that it just worked out. I interviewed Katie Hobbs. She walked up. She was one of the judges for the thing. And Selena Vega, who was part of the originator of Dancing with the Bars itself, that incarnation of that whole thing. So it was very interesting to be there. But it was funny because we were just not planning on seeing ourselves on these big screens. Boom, as it happened.
Sure.
But it was very fun. Everybody was great to that you know, agreed to interview with us right there on the terracotta carpet, asking you know why they were there, why were they involved, how they get involved, different things. Very cute. So that was a whole lot
That's
of fun.
Great.
Katie has chosen, because it'll be such a big night for election night. Katie has committed to being with us on election night for the coverage because she wants to drink. She wants to drink. So November 9th, Katie will be filling that microphone.
Oh, that's
because we all had to man our bells.
Yeah.
Katie!
So Katie's coming, which is going to be fun.
Oh, that's
exciting.
It
was really great to see her. She picked me up and we drove out. It seemed like almost to Narnia out there at Wild Horse Pass. It's a long drive.
It is a long drive.
But it was so. It was
that's
just,
one way down on the 10, right?
Yeah, way down on the 10, and then you go that way.
You know that Narnia is just through the wardrobe, right?
Yeah.
It seemed like a long, far away.
They forgot. They didn't use the wardrobe, so they had to go through the interstate. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Yes. Because Narnia, you just got to walk through the wardrobe.
Right,
it's right,
right
there.
The lion and the witch. Over here.
It was the Narnia Book on the nerd. Reservation. Yeah. How about that?
I like it.
Go ahead and say that.
The Trail of Tears. Delaney! Narnia.
The Andrew Jackson Memorial Highway.
But it was a good time. The funny thing is when you ride with Katie, and I don't know if anybody in here has actually been a passenger in any vehicle she's piloting. Oh, by the way, she has a new mom vehicle now.
She bought the Honda, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Odyssey. She bought an Odyssey.
Yes. So it's when she parks just like you. Like there's a whole row of them. And but it's a lovely vehicle. But
I have a little bit of van envy because hers probably has the bells and whistles.
Oh, she's got all this shit going on in her thing. Oh. And the funny thing is, she says, I'm sorry, it kind of is a messy. She's like, wasn't she called like binkies and goldfish and towels? There's all kinds of stuff all over the thing. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Can I hang up my black jacket?
If you need a snack, you know there's goldfish. She's a mom.
Somewhere on the floor, she said they were.
That goldfish thing, I remember we went on a road trip with the kids one time and stopped at a rest stop. I think we were driving to my mom's house in California. So we stopped at a rest stop, you know, like you do. And we opened the van door. And
they just fell out?
They just fell out. And not like three or four of them, no. Entire package cascaded out of the side of my van of goldfish. Just cascaded out of the side of my van.
It's amazing how much you can shut up a child with goldfish. Uh-huh. And me, because I'm like, those are tasty.
They are a little tasty.
The cheddar goldfish?
They're not quite as sharp as Cheez-Its.
Get
they're
goldfish.
Little snack
size. Yeah. Get goldfish. Right. I remember those like
things
those fucking
that shut Ella.
Cheddar briskets. I remember that as much as that.
Cheddar briskets.
But now, I will tell you, I can see why you'd have van envy. That fucking thing.
It's fucking nice.
Let's just talk about Honda's Odyssey for a second.
Tell me about the Honda Odyssey. Brand new one.
She's piloting this thing, and there's a cockpit. There's gauges and bells and whistles and shit. There are cameras all over that motherfucker. And, of course, you've got the navigation screen. Oh, yeah. You change lanes. That screen changes to what all the fuck's going on over here. It just did everything. It was amazing. It was fucking amazing to me.
Because my car has
rode
the little
like a
light.
I'm so jealous.
It was very nice.
I have none of those things.
But I didn't realize.
I'm a danger with a big blind spot.
I have
on
the light
side.
That tells you something's in your blind spot that flashes.
Yeah. Oh, no. This one shows you what's making your light flash. Like, it's a whole thing.
So you're just watching TV while you're driving. What a good
so
idea.
What I was thinking while we're. Yeah. Okay, so we
and
all.
And yet it keeps people safe.
The point of this thing was, if you've ever ridden with Katie, June, anywhere, and Katie, if you're listening to the show, I love you dearly.
God,
you know
you.
That.
All due respect.
We all know how ADD Katie is.
No.
Everything. Just
come on.
Shiny, squirrel, mouse,
surprise. Zucchini.
Zucchini. She's everywhere, right? So not only is she like that while she's driving.
That's why we love her.
There's so much stimuli in the van between lights and whistles and screens and camera angles. I just don't know how the fuck she does it. I just don't know.
How'd your therapy session go yesterday?
I mean, I'm literally sitting. I'm all buckled in, but I'm watching her. We're in the HOV, and then we're in this line, we're in this line. We were
she's
slot racing. And then she has the nerve to pick up her phone to look at maps.
Oh, no,
the MapQuest thing on her phone. When I'm thinking, couldn't you just program that into the van? You could have programmed it into the main screen that you're looking at for where we were going. But it was very funny, and just the whole trip was very entertaining. But she's ADD, the van's ADD, combining all of it, I don't know how anybody gets anywhere.
Oh, Katie June, I'd love to go for a ride in your Odyssey.
It's a beautiful it's a beautiful vehicle. It really is.
Yeah. I'm a base model kind of a girl. I look at the price of cars when I'm car shopping, and
I keep looking.
Oh my God, I can't even believe.
I never thought it would be this way as an adult male, and being coming upon the middle age. Well, I'm square in it right now. I really keep looking at your vehicles, the Dodge, it's the Caravan,
right? The Caravan.
I keep looking at them, and I'm like, that's what I need. I love the stow-and-go seating. You can make it a cargo van, for Christ's sakes. Yep. Haul anything.
And I often do.
It's a mini bus. It's almost everything I want.
Yeah.
I'm really thinking, like, really? I'm looking at a minivan. I'm 47, I'm looking at a fucking minivan.
And some of them
minivan.
Are very, very nice. Like, I literally have a base model. Like, I've got power doors and windows and stow-and-go seating and... That's
about
it,
all I would need. I don't need all the other crap, because it's just more crap to go wrong.
I love all the other crap.
Well, no, I get that.
I love it.
But I don't need DVDs in the back of every headrest. I don't care for shit. I'm not hauling kids.
Right.
I don't care about that. I need air conditioning.
Part of your hostage situation should offer something.
No, right. Goldfish. Right.
To your date.
That's why there's stow-and-go seating.
Goldfish and DVDs. You got yourself a willing hostage.
You, and all of a sudden...
And on
it's
that
not
point,
candy anymore.
All of a sudden, Bruno Mars is walking willingly towards the van.
On that point, we're going to go into our headline segment, because that just seems like the best segue to get out of that ever. Here we go. Come on. It'll be fun.
That's what she said.
Oh, a painting is valuable as hell.
Well, there's still those killer clowns.
Back in the day.
Zombie apocalypse, for real.
Get a dust bunny, give a dust bunny.
Most ignored issues in the debate.
Out of the sky, you drone.
Guess who won the vice presidential debate? Early!
And it's a dummy, all right, but in the HOV lane, these and other titillating stories about zucchini.
Zucchini!
Coming
zucchini!
Up! Right here!
Excuse me while I turn my headphones down.
We all got a little excited.
Listeners at home, adjust your audio.
Well, at least he's not singing.
Is this
right
on?
Now.
Is this on? Yes, it's on. It's very much on. Very good.
Natalie Cole.
Oh. I miss you.
Crazy!
Yep, that's how much I miss you.
You know, it's funny that YouTube never dinged us for copyright on that.
Isn't that funny?
I wonder why. Oh,
interesting.
I can't imagine.
I do have to interrupt all of you for a minute.
Oh, so weird.
When the Trump supporters were complaining about the Arizona Republic putting out an editorial piece instead of news when the editorial department decided to take a stance. And I'm like, the fact that Fox News listeners just gave the best example of irony of their entire lives, but you can't give them points because they don't know.
They don't.
That they're watching a news station that only editorializes and they're pissed off about their newspaper having an editorial page. It's just...
the newspaper. You know, the thing that's unfortunate about that is all the, like, death threats. Like,
oh, my God,
death threats that went...
Because you got Trump supporters. You got yourself a death threat.
Well, you've got that guy that was screaming Trump in Mesa with his shirt off 6 months ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Remember that guy all like muscle? Yeah. Trump.
Yeah, for that's real. It. So
yeah,
I read a couple of the stories and I immediately followed Mr. Rachel Maddow, Kat Carlson, and John Oliver, and I got my Sunday morning. I only ordered the Sunday morning edition.
Sunday?
So I have my Sunday morning edition of the newspaper at home to support my local journalists
Good
and
work.
Wow, that's a lot of newspaper.
There you
are. Zucchini, that's a lot to read.
It's a lot to go through.
And I thought it was less than I remembered. Like I thought
know.
It was.
Isn't
it
also
much
a smaller paper?
That's what you said when I brought one in. And it was
such a physically smaller paper.
I don't know. It's a lot.
No,
but that's you know,
a couple hours.
What, so Martin? Me and the glasses and the coffee are getting to it.
What was that?
You're like. This and then it went to here. Like I don't remember ever getting a paper that was
like this big.
Well, no. But when
well,
you
remember,
when,
he lived the in a radio.
No, opening
was bigger.
Fuck
I was
you.
Like, what are you talking
When you opened the paper,
about?
The double truck of the paper was really wide, but
okay,
now
fair.
The double truck is.
You
much
could
smaller.
Hide snarky
Maybe that's
remarks
when
and
you were one. When you were younger.
No,
but,
I think she's fat shaming you.
You know, and
no,
the Arizona Republic.
Stand down, Ms. Venezuela.
Housewife. Housekeeper?
Yeah, housekeeper.
Why wasn't the drinking word Miss Housekeeping?
I feel like it was paper shamed, not fat shamed.
Yeah,
it
was paper
shamed.
Oh, all right.
Sure. I don't know where we went.
How do we want to spin that?
Miss Timberwolf.
Are we doing a story? What are we doing?
I'm going to tell a story.
Tell a story.
A painting discovered in a stately home by the Scottish National Trust and valued at $26 is now thought to be a Madonna by Renaissance master Raphael, potentially increasing its worth to a cool $26 million. Mm-hmm. Here's the picture that they found, the portrait that they found. Mm-hmm. The work was initially spotted during the making of the BBC TV series Britain's Lost Masterpieces. While visiting Haddo House to view some other works for the series, when they spotted the Madonna composition, which although was not in the best condition, an expert who was with the show caught his eye. It later was realized that the painting that you're seeing right now on the screen had been purchased in the early 1800s, was exhibited in 1841 alongside some other paintings. In 1899, the painting, which had been dated between 1505 and 1510 as when it was painted, was valued at $2,600, and they thought it was a copy. Mm. But then later, it was determined to be authentic, worthing about $26 million. Wow. So, even if you go, you know, we've heard about them before from random stories here and there. When you go to a rummage sale or you find something that looks, sometimes mm-hmm. you buy something for nothing and you have it checked and like, okay, where did you find this? This is an original right. XYZ.
Antique.
Yeah,
something right.
crazy. Or you buy something that you just, the frame was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, old, crazy, you know, intricate frame. And then you find out that the painting that's in it's been in there since 1500.
Sure.
I mean, you don't find that on Antiques Roadshow every day, but
You could.
You still find stuff.
I'm going to zucchini this story up a notch.
Oh.
And just be as pretentious
nicely
as fuck.
So,
when I was in Champagne, and not just in the glass itself, but I was actually in the territories of Champagne.
The territories.
We went to this lovely cottage, chateau, what have you, restored from, like, the lineage, like somebody that was related to the cousin of the cousin of the cousin of the great
uncle. Was there the baker with his bread like always?
Yeah, exactly. It was that kind of shit going on. And but what they had found when they were doing their restoration is as they pulled off a couple layers of terrible wallpaper, mm-hmm. they found all original art by artists of the day when the house went into disrepair and people just moved in. They didn't realize that the main room or the salon of this, it wasn't a big house, maybe, you know, not one up, one down, but it probably had like three or four bedrooms. And but people would come and stay and they would do the salon and they would paint the walls and then paint over some other master's work that all of these famous artists, these French artists, were coming to these people's house because they had vineyards, they lived in Champagne. Like, it was a gorgeous place to come. So what they would do is they would just repaint, put a new painting on the wall, and somebody had covered it up, but, like, the last paintings on each wall were, like, their own frescoes. And as they restored it, they were, like, and they're all signed. I can't remember who the artists were, but, like, Chagall was one of them that had just, like, come over for supper and, like, painted a fresco to pay for his meal for the week. And, I mean, like, that nice. Kind of nonsense.
That's
and they
crazy.
Had restored this... the salon, and it was one of the coolest things. They're like, yeah, grandma bought this house for like $75 because mm-hmm. it was a piece of shit. And then in the restoration, they found these signed, and then they found the histories that someone had kept books as like who came over and a detail of, and they couldn't take pictures, but there'd be like a little detail of what was painted and if mm-hmm. they liked it or if they was like, yeah, you can paint over that one.
Okay.
She had a shitty week.
Wow, that's
maybe
cool.
too much wine. So it was really cool to see this house from...
And the unfortunate thing is you'll never be able to see what's under all
what's
of them.
What's under all of them. And they've said, like, you know, the restorationist restorers were wondering, like, could we get beyond this one? Like, did they put, like, one layer of paint over? So it's kind of cool.
It sounds almost like the plot of Under the Sun.
Joey's in the chat room saying that a lot of KY was used with when he went across the border.
Oh, I thought you were in Kentucky.
A lot of Kentucky is what I was thinking. Yeah, and you know, you never know.
And while in Kentucky,
oh, and Joey,
you sure got a pretty mouth.
Joey, you got to tell me what bridge you would go over. I think I asked you the other day.
A pretty bridge, a big bridge.
Well, I think the Whirlpool bridge is mostly commercial stuff. So I was just wondering, like, which bridge he traveled.
He'll tell us.
So, and then if you haven't had a chance, I'm going to interrupt you one more time. The story of Cecilia Jimenez, who took the fresco of Jesus that was painted,
mm-hmm. oh,
and she
yeah, yeah.
volunteered to do
and
it.
And she touched it up.
Mm-hmm. And she touched it up. You have your choices. You can either watch Kate McKinnon on Weekend Update do Cecilia Jimenez, and you'll pee your pants, or you can watch Stephen Colbert from The Daily Show, and it's still one of the greatest things ever on The Daily Show. It's tip of the hat, wag of the finger to Cecilia Jimenez for having the giant...
Oh, the Colbert Report.
The Colbert Report, sorry.
Oh, that's right.
For
Colbert.
Having the giant balls to do this, something she's never actually done. So when it comes to this thing, Oh, Fort Erie. So that's the Peace Bridge. Okay. So,
Mariah, your turn.
See, Joey,
gotta get that gorilla in there. Gorilla's not done yet.
Whatever name they want.
Stone cold sober, and I can't even say your name. I'm just hopping up a coffee and zucchini.
Woo! All right. So, the killer clown thing, right? Mm-hmm. We had talked about this. There were a couple of stories about how clowns were kind of popping out of the woods in different places.
There was an article
places.
In the Sunday's paper about that.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's the same one. but we talked about how at Aaron's school, there were the threats that came through with the clown stuff. So, the killer clown sightings, they're wondering, is it real or is it this terrifying hoax? Some blamed it on the upcoming adaptations of Stephen King's It, and others thought it was Rob Zombie playing a viral trick for his upcoming thriller 31. No idea about that. But as it turns out, these creepy clown sightings sweeping America have nothing to do with any upcoming movie, and it could be connected to something far more terrifying. Dun, dun, dun. Mm. What started out as a seemingly innocent prank has turned into a real-life nightmare. And now these scary killer clowns, first spotted lurking in the woods of South Carolina, have spread now to upstate New York, apparently. And they're talking about, will the rest of America get this bizarre plague coming to it? Well, I think so, because it's really kind of going all over. And if I look in my backyard and there's a fucking clown, I'm just saying, that'll be too much.
I'm out.
You sent me a link of something to play.
Not for now.
No, I realize that. Yeah.
Can that or no?
I can play audio only.
Okay.
Because I need more prep to be able to do
the
whole video.
Sorry, I just found able to send it.
I can play the audio if that helps, but I think this is a more visual that you sent me. So
can that be put as a link in the chat room?
Sure can.
Okay.
Sure can. In fact, when I get there. I'll prep right now.
You're so good to me. Thanks.
Continue on.
So anyway, on August, here's the thing. And I'm trying to picture Al with the garden, right? And someone showing up. So typically these clowns have been like hiding in the woods and coming out and kids and boo and, you know, doing all that kind of shit. Now they've gotten brazen enough to stand on the occasional porch, banging chains and loud objects. Some have even been caught like coming up on security cameras into different places. Fuck that. Is what I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I look out my window and hear like chains clanging and there's a fucking clown. I'm done.
You know, I'm afraid of wind chimes. Like, I could never live somewhere with wind chimes.
Right.
Because that wind chime goes off and I'm calling 911. Something is blowing up there.
Outside.
Could it be the wind, sir? I don't care. You need to check.
Come and work their shit out.
Some fucker put a wind chime outside my house.
Yeah, there was one woman who saw a scary clown with a blinking nose just standing beside a dumpster at 2:30 in the morning. See, that's my kind of thing.
Clown by a dumpster. That's everything. All it needs to do is be the bottom.
You need a chainsaw.
The bottom part of a parking garage. You've got all my fears in one.
Right. Done. And, you know, when you read this stuff, you're like, oh, for Christ's sake. You know, like, oh, it's a clone with a blinky nose. No, that's somebody behind a mask, and I don't know who the fuck you are.
That drives me nuts.
I know it.
They got a windowless van near a dumpster. Nothing good's going to happen.
It's another reason that I hate Halloween. Aside from the fact that everybody's just a fucking moron, and I don't know who you are, and it drives me insane.
Right.
Speaking of which, I got to take some work off.
Well, you know that. Yeah, that's a good call.
Because
Halloween
is
a great shift.
Shit is coming up.
The interesting thing that I found with this article was that guns have been fired at the clowns. Machetes have been swung at them. No reports yet of injured men or women in the clown costumes because I think people are so scared that they're just kind of bang, bang, bang all over. But there was one gal who said that her son went out and was kind of standing by the woods in his clown outfit that he plans to wear for Halloween. And he's a young boy
he
with
got
autism.
Macheted? Oh, no.
No, but it's
come
the
on,
idea.
You gotta warn me that they have autism for machete him.
No, no, no.
Zucchini, bitch!
It's not about macheting him. It's the idea that could happen. If people are afraid and they're freaking out about this, you know, it could potentially be a viral marketing scheme. It could be a lot of things, but it really isn't seeming that way.
It's a shitty marketing scheme.
I do too.
Scares the hell out of people.
Oddly, Florida has become just the latest state to be plagued, and now you have the penis of America with the clowns, and it's too much. It's just too much in Florida, I think. Right?
Florida's a lot.
Too much.
Way.
Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, Virginia. I mean, it's all over. It sounds like a lot of states where Trump is doing well.
The clown states.
The clown states. Well, but no
he's
offense,
their leader.
No offense, Drew.
Cheeto Jesus kind of looks like a bozo knockoff.
Yeah, there you he go. Really That's does. True. And it could just be a mask. Anyway, but I am going to keep up on this creepy clown.
But it's
clown
turned into
phenomenon.
This. Now it's turned into like copycats. Like right. What started as something upsetting in South Carolina has right. suddenly become trendy. Like, this is what's catching on. I guess it's better than Crocs.
Well,
thank God
Zucchini.
Those have waned.
You know, the thing that is troubling about it, though, is that if in fact this is a thing, truly, those kids, the teenage kids that were arrested for making some, you know, terroristic threats, mm-hmm. were using Pennywise.
Yeah, they're using right? this. Yeah,
sure.
And you're using a pretty much right. across the board phobia. Like, I think Joey put in there that
it's a clown calamity.
I think Joey put in there that we got to mix Trump's Second Amendment people with clowns, and I'm all for it. I think that's genius.
Hey, Cozy, not all the time are clowns hanging Mickey and Minnie. I have done that, and there's a photo proof of it. But it was unintentional.
And I have said in the last couple episodes that I think one of the reasons, one of the reasons that Ronald McDonald kind of has taken a backseat in the McDonald's advertising is I think that fear of clowns kind of overpowered the deliciousness of what might be a burger.
It may or may not be. We don't know, but we don't want to prove it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, but I will keep up because, you know, there, you have Pennywise.
Yeah. Scary. Local clone.
Okay, yeah, Ronald McDonald.
Local clown correspondent, Marnie Ryer,
absolutely.
Is here with a zucchini.
The clown calamity.
I need a sticky
as
note.
Drew
wait.
Has the clown calamity. I like that a lot.
Local clown correspondent.
But, how do I you get know, a new
sticky? Local clown correspondent.
And zucchini enthusiast.
Zucchini.
For different reasons.
Exactly. Separate stories. One's more for late night.
I do.
As long as we don't have to deal with Pogo the Clown, I think that we should be okay. Because that would, of course, be John Wayne Gacy.
We have to have a little shout out to a new listener who is looking for ways.
Zucchini!
To Zucchini. Yes, he is. It's David Hutcherson Jr. He has two juniors in his name. I'm not sure why, but he's been listening and wants to comment along, but I don't think he always listens live, but it's fun because he sent me a couple of fun messages about listening to the show and how much he enjoys it. And he's from Tennessee. David Hutcherson Jr.
David. Or should we go with Junior?
I like Junior.
I like Junior. I hope you don't mind Junior. But hi. Hi there.
So he wants to comment on the show, but he can't. I think he doesn't listen live. So look for stuff on Facebook or what did you say was the other option? Was
our Facebook page? They can also do it on the YouTube channel. You can now do it. You can do it as well.
I'm sorry. My bad.
On when you go to our website, qtalkamerica.com, and you find the show, you can comment directly about that show on that page.
Oh, cool. So comment on the shows. That's fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
I might read those.
Maybe.
It's fun for everybody.
No, we would.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So watch out for the clowns.
You, sir, it's your turn.
Fine, sir.
I was trying to do two other things at the same time, but we're going to go back to this. Twitter users are mocking Donald Trump's tax return saga by recalling what life was like back in the 90s. You know, back when Donald would have paid taxes, how long ago? A New York Times report released Saturday that showed the GOP presidential nominee could have legally avoided, and apparently it's what's going on, he could have legally avoided paying federal income taxes for up to 18 years. It's prompted their amusing trip down memory lane. Via the hashtag last time Trump paid taxes, they've recollected what would have been the relationship status of the likes of Ross and Rachel and the size of cell phones at the time. And also what had resurfaced was Trump's very own appearance on an episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So some of the best posts so far are from this one. You'll appreciate this, Marnie. At Real Donald Drumpf.
I do love it.
Acting as if they were him. He was dialing into AOL at 3 a.m. to check his instant messages. Let's see, where's the other one? The last time Trump paid taxes, Will Smith and his parents couldn't see eye to eye, which is a reference to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Mm-hmm.
The last time Trump paid taxes, Ross had not yet cheated on Rachel.
Oh.
They were on a break!
Zucchini! What are you trying to put it in her purse?
The last time Trump paid taxes, MTV was still playing music videos.
Oh.
Good one.
Wow. That was a while ago.
It actually showed also, I can't show it right now, but they showed a picture of before they all became the crazy fucked up people they are now. It was a picture of the last time Trump paid taxes, the Kardashians looked normal.
And still had like $10 million.
Like an actual family.
Yeah.
Two of them were still virgins.
This one, you might need to help me with. Who's Sylvester McCoy?
I do not know.
Last time Trump paid taxes, Sylvester McCoy was still the doctor. I don't know what that means.
No, I don't either.
So
stand by?
Mm-hmm.
I do not either.
The last time Trump paid taxes, he filed it on a Mac computer the size of a Buick.
it's a Doctor Who thing.
Oh, Doctor
Who.
Got it.
Yeah, Sylvester McCoy is best known for playing the seventh incarnation because they keep replacing Doctor Who.
Okay. Remember also the Backstreet Boys song, Backstreet's Back, All Right? Remember that little ditty?
They weren't back yet.
They hadn't
left yet. They had not come back yet.
Everybody.
The last time Trump paid taxes, two fresh-faced young men won an Oscar for the movie Good Will Hunting.
Oh, you like apples?
How do you like them apples?
Last time Trump paid taxes, only 9% of Americans had cell phones. That's crazy to think. Only 9%. Now, 150% of people have headphones. Because some people have two.
Typically Donald Trump on Twitter. He's probably got them both going.
The last time Trump paid taxes, I couldn't even install Windows 95 on my computer because the hard drive wasn't big enough. Windows 95. Jesus, that's crazy to think about. That's that old.
It has 95 in the name, so it really shouldn't take that long to consider.
No, but when you think about how much time has really passed since he's paid it, you don't think of it. The last time Trump paid taxes.
Each year it goes up by one.
I understand
approximately 91% of adults have cell phones.
It's only 91?
According to Pew Research Center, funny. 91%.
Well, so many polls of late are so accurate. I mean, trust me, they are. Millions of people. The last time Trump paid taxes, I got fined for not rewinding my VHS tape at Blockbuster.
There's the winner.
The last time Trump paid taxes, Destiny's Child still had four members.
That's good.
Oh, that's enough for
Gemini's twin.
I thought that was so funny. Some of those things. But the pictures.
Was Lisa Left Eye Lopez still alive?
Yeah.
Sure.
That hill was a
but that was TLC.
Don't go chasing.
That wasn't Destiny's Child.
No, I know. That's what I'm just
but
saying.
But she was
pretty
alive.
Sure she hadn't burned down the house yet, had she?
I don't think so.
I had never heard Destiny's Child without thinking of Gemini's twin. When they would just replace, it was on SNL, and they would replace the one girl like every week, because there was only two that anybody cared about, so the other one was just some throwaway.
That's right.
Always funny.
Always good.
And then they finally landed on Michelle Obama as the third one. What's her name?
I don't remember.
Me neither. See? Doesn't even matter.
Zucchini!
They've only been three for like a million years, but no one cares.
So there were a couple of brothers and even a mom that was a little bit... Well, it's fucking funny, actually, is what it is. They convinced their little sister that a zombie apocalypse was happening while she was high after wisdom teeth removal. Oh, my God.
That's appropriate.
I thought fan-fucking-tastic.
Good use of zucchini.
Good use. Attention, Internet. You may now retire the high after wisdom teeth removal genre after these two older brothers convinced poor little Millicent, which makes it even better.
Millicent.
Millie. That a zombie outbreak had started. Just hearing that over-the-top summary might make you call fake. Might call fake, but these brothers and apparently their mom went to extreme lengths to pull this off. It's the ultimate older brother prank. And I'll put the... link to it in the chat room so you can watch it. It's like 3 minutes. It's fucking funny. It begins with a CD of on the drive home from the dentist. It plays a recording of a radio station interrupted by the emergency broadcast system announcing a virus outbreak with symptoms like fever, aggression, death, and cannibalism. It only escalates from there, with the brothers staging a rush home to rescue what they can, all the while forcing Millicent to make all the tough calls.
Poor Millicent.
Most impressively, although she's basically hallucinating the entire time, Millicent is a ruthless survivor when it comes to these decisions. Go back for Mom? We're not the U.S. Marines. Can't we just go? Dog or cat? The cat, you idiot. She's also very unhappy with the weapon that they give her in it. So I'll put that in the chat room, and at whatever time you guys can go ahead and see it.
I'd seen the video fucking come across, hysterical. But I never watched it.
Yeah, it's really, because she's like out of it. Sure. Yeah. They show her kind of beforehand where everything is fine, and then just, oh, she's fucking gorked. So it really is cute. I'll put that in there. But how smart to come up with all of that, because that took some planning, and she's all freaked out. So I'm going to put the video in the chat room, I'll put the whole article thing in there, and then that way you guys can take a look at it. It was just a fun story and an otherwise crazy fucking time.
That's a good prank. I found that under good prank.
I give them all kinds of props for that. Yeah. And Cozy, you saw it. Best video ever. Yeah. Fucking funny.
Best prank ever, Nero says. Best prank ever.
That falls under good prank. Mm-hmm. Appropriate use
of pranking. We should do that to Broncos. That would be fantastic.
Huh?
I like it. Link is in the chat room. Fine, sir.
Moving on. Some people look at dust bunnies in their home and they see a mess. Well, Suzanne Prolux sees the making of a masterpiece. The Erie, Pennsylvania-based artist has made a name for herself by creating works of art using dust, dirt, and lint. Previously, she made self-portraits using household dust, but she turned dust bunnies into rabbit sculptures for her current project. Let's take a gander at what these current projects look like.
I'm concerned.
Boom! There they are.
That's disgusting.
That's really gross.
Now, Prolux was commissioned by Febreze air purifiers to make the sculptures out of 40 pounds of dust, which is the average amount that the average American home collects in a year.
Don't care.
Collecting all that dust at once.
I don't need to see it all in one place.
Uh-uh.
Oh, wait, there's more, though. Stand by. We got this. We got this. This is a lovely setting here. We got them on stairs.
Oh, hell no.
And then they got this. Look at this.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. By the bed.
Uh-uh. I'm sorry.
They're making me itchy. They're making me so itchy.
I see dust mites.
Yeah.
So collecting all that dust at once can be a challenge for even the biggest slob. But Prolux relied on friends, neighbors, and students at Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, Prolux. Shit from your... I'm sorry. You seem to be very excited about this. My bad.
I'm trying to explain to you how she got all this shit.
I went right to zucchini.
I don't even know what the hell you were screaming.
Collecting all that dust at once can be a challenge for even the biggest slob, so Prolux relied on friends, neighbors, and students at Edinburgh University in Pennsylvania, where she is an assistant professor. People were very helpful, she said. She told the Huffington Post, some people sent packets of bunny fur through the mail. My students gave me the lint from the dormitory laundry machines.
Oh.
And others reached out through Facebook.
Oh, you can reach out through Facebook. Facebook send dust?
I agree.
Making the dust bunnies look like bunnies presented some challenges, she says. Prolux had to build little skeleton-like armatures and then cover them with a mesh shaped like rabbit heads, rib cages, and feet. She then sprayed them with shellac and spray adhesive before sewing together all the different parts.
Oh, hell
she said
no.
That she learned... She also learned that not all dust is created equal. From an artistic perspective, quote, the fur from long-haired animals helped hold things together. Vacuum lint can be very dirty. You have to pick out the finer parts. The finished sculptures are being displayed behind glass at Febreze headquarters in Marlborough, Massachusetts, but Prolux isn't washing her hands of doing future work. Called Dust Works.
All right, I wrote it down and I'll say it out loud. This is the worst thing that has ever happened in America.
No, it is not.
Okay, first of all,
we're being a little dramatic. Settle down.
I don't know. I'm with Meow on that. Fuck the clowns.
Yeah,
like not literally, but fuck the clowns because that is too much. And the not wash your hands. I had an owl scream on that one.
It's like picking up a stiff sock in a young man's bedroom. Don't do it. Don't do it.
No, I'm telling you.
And I'm gonna collect it from other people.
As a vacuum
aficionado. On me.
As a vacuum aficionado.
Yes, you are.
Can I have some hand sanitizer, please?
I think we all need some hand sanitizer.
Yeah. Yep.
Every time
we need industrial size hand sanitizer.
We have it here. Just they're passing the commercial bottle of hand sanitizer around.
Yeah, she sewed them together. Run away, Clarice. Run away, Clarice.
Hold that up to the camera. Let people know what you're using.
I just want you to know that the lambs will never stop.
Hand sanitizer. There you go. There we go. Thank you, Kat Carlson.
The bunnies will never stop screaming in this story.
How's your soup? Woof. But every time I empty the vacuum, you know, it's almost like you get a second cat out of it. At your house, it must be similar. You've got 18 dogs.
Yeah, but I now get them shaved.
Atta girl.
I take them
entirely different show.
Zucchini!
You don't keep them in a well in your basement and then take the skins off and make a suit out of them.
That's true.
That's exactly the difference.
You don't come out of your room. Lotion in the bath.
It puts the lotion on the bunny or else it gets the hose again.
Do you want some rabbits? Okay.
You're going to go around and collect all the dust in this house and send it to my friend who makes art.
Who's been a dirty girl?
Oh, well, I don't want to talk about it.
Help me. Somebody, another story.
We need another. I want to hear about somebody fucking a car at this point.
Barney, that's your department.
I'm gonna go ahead and get on that.
Mechanophiles are you, Barney.
I'm going to mechanophile the shit out of that.
That's a pretty little bar.
One
we'd rather hear.
What a bad time to stop sniffing glue.
For real.
Well. So there was a debate earlier this evening.
Uh-huh. Oh, this evening.
This evening. Yeah. The vice presidential debate was on. And well ahead of time, God bless the RNC.
Oh.
Because the RNC is on top of things.
Oh, this is timely news. Look at us go.
And the RNC proclaims Mike Pence the winner more than an hour even before the debate took place.
And luckily all the news channels got to read it out loud.
Yeah.
More than an hour before... Indiana Governor Mike Pence had already schooled Senator Tim Kaine. At least that's according to the Republican National Committee, which mistakenly posted a glowing review of the GOP vice presidential nominee's performance on its website Tuesday evening, long before the debate even started.
They also forget that timestamps follow these things, so you could probably go back now and even see when they tweeted it. There's no denying it.
Last week, we decided to print this. Americans from all across the country, they said, tuned in to watch the one and only vice presidential debate. During the debate, we helped fact check. Keep in mind, it hadn't happened yet.
Yes.
Was that live fact checking?
Yeah, live fact checking.
Live.
During the debate, we helped fact check and monitor the conversation in real time
in the
at GOP. The consensus was clear after the dust settled. Mike Pence was the clear winner
clear.
Of the debate. That's right. Zucchini.
Clear as mud.
The RNC also helpfully, which was nice.
It
nice
is.
Of them.
Thoughtful.
Well, and a Republicans, these Republicans mm-hmm. are anything but helpful, of course. The RNC also helpfully summed up Pence's top moments of a debate that had not happened, including exchanges on the economy and Hillary's scandals, none of which had happened, at least not then. Mike Pence made the most of his opportunity, they said, to debate Hillary's VP pick, Tim Kaine. In another post published early but soon taken down, the RNC proclaimed, it's clear who lost the VP debate. Hillary Clinton.
She was there?
Yeah, right?
Well, I mean, in fairness, it was what they were all going to say.
Right.
Anyways.
But
it's just fun to see them fuck up.
Right. Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Tuesday is listening.
Tuesday.
Are we ready? Do you need me to show this picture now?
Well, it's,
oh, God, it's not more
topical.
Bunnies, isn't it?
It's not more bunnies, no.
It's adorable.
I've been kind of trolling Twitter throughout the show.
Is this the Donald Trump Twitter stuff?
No. This is just a little something that I came across. Look how much
Paul Ryan
almost vice rapist in chief loves the new almost vice rapist.
Who looks
in
like
chief.
A fucking televangelist.
Look at them.
He really does.
Tis love. I sense a little zucchini action going on.
Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam.
The one behind is sticking it in, and the one in front is getting it because he's like a little uncomfortable.
Just breathe.
Just breathe through it.
You know what they were missing?
Okay.
You're going to like it in a
they
minute.
They were missing the KY that old what's his name had up there in Canada.
And there's going to be a stiff sock in about a half an hour, Drew.
Hang on. Oh, but I just thought that was fantastic.
Oh my God, have you ever watched the Larry Sanders Show to see Hey Now?
No.
Oh my God. You got to watch the Larry Sanders Show. HBO,
deal.
Go.
I'm in.
Watch
I have
the
it.
Episode where Jeffrey Tambor decides he's going to be Jewish because he wants to date a rabbi who's a woman because he finds out they can get married. Just watch.
All right.
Jeffrey Tambor pretend to be Jewish. It's a delight.
I'm totally in.
Really, as a Jew, you're more of a Methodist. It's fantastic.
Fine, sir.
I'm
in. Oh, it's back to me?
Yep. That's really how it works.
That's how this works. Just here.
There's not a whole bunch of choices.
Well, I feel like we need to have a meeting.
Exactly. We're going to have one at that sushi bar sometime in January.
Sushi.
He looks like he wears baby diapers for a sexual turn on.
Which one? Which
one? Well, not Jenny, but Jenny.
Not Jenny herself.
Jenny, not herself.
Oh, my God. Drew Pence has to be a bottom because he keeps getting fucked by Trump every 10 seconds.
Well, don't you remember when the first logo came out that they very quickly turned down?
Yes. Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to waste the semen, so he's got to put it somewhere.
Not just that, but
is that too much?
Around every corner, Trump says
he doesn't
want to
waste the Santorum.
Yeah, you don't want to waste the Santorum. You got to put it back inside.
People juice. I prefer to call it
people juice.
Santorum equals
I'm
people juice.
Vomiting zucchini. Okie dokie. And fine, sir.
Well,
so we're not going to be in any kind of like daycare centers.
It's not a good idea to go peeping on Mike Rowe with a drone. We all know. You know who Mike Rowe is? Mike Rowe is the TV show like Dirty Jobs or a couple other different things. He's also done a couple different series or things for CNN. Mm-hmm. Mike Rowe, great guy, got a great voice.
Dirty. Is he Dirty Jobs?
Dirty Jobs, right? Well, Mike Rowe. Apparently, he'd had
sometimes
enough.
Sometimes I find him attractive. That was not one of those pictures.
He's only 54. I thought he was a little older. But he's had a lot of dirty jobs. So
yeah.
But oh, no,
sometimes I'm a little turned on.
I enjoy his show.
There's a stiff sock threat.
Yeah.
For the love of Christ.
Is that our new DEFCON?
Jesus.
Instead of DEFCON, we get stiff sock.
I'm sorry. People encourage me in the chat room with the stiff sock thing. Go ahead.
Madam Secretary, please take us to stiff sock 2.
The TV personality. The TV personality said he was almost blasted an intrusive quadcopter out of the sky after he spotted. Here, he posted a picture. It looks like he looked like this. Here's a picture of the drone up there in the sky. After he spotted it hovering over his San Francisco home while he was in his birthday suit last Tuesday, he said. The former Dirty Jobs host was sleeping nude in his own bedroom, like you do, when the sound of what he thought was a gigantic bumblebee woke him up. This is what he wrote on Facebook. So what he did was, actually it wasn't an insect, it was, he opened the drapes and he was shocked to see a drone buzzing in the air just feet away from his window and its camera pointed straight at him. Rowe, who is 54 years old, grabbed a 12-gauge shotgun from under his bed and ran down the deck of his house, still nude. He says, quote, I pumped a shell into the chamber enjoying the crunch, crunch sound that a shotgun makes. He said, I had a clear shot, nothing but blue sky above and more than enough umbrage to justify the destruction I was about to unleash.
Oh, that's good.
But then the former opera singer was just milliseconds away from pulling the trigger. He says he froze. It wasn't fear of being arrested that stopped him. Instead, it was the realization that the footage could then end up on local news. The drone flew off and Rowe had to satisfy himself with just snapping a photograph of the machine with his cell phone.
Now, when he satisfied himself, was there a stiff sock?
It doesn't say. He had no idea.
Madam Secretary? We're in stiff sock 3 right now.
He says, I have no idea who is flying the drone, but now fears that the footage will be leaked online. Quote, I sincerely hope not, but I know it's out there and there isn't much I can do about it. To be sure, if the unthinkable occurs, that you could
brought to you by Golden, Colorado.
You can all say that you heard it here first.
I shot a drone.
Tried to.
I think it's not a bad idea. Fucking little hovering things. That's what I have to say about that. I don't have a gun though.
That's probably a good thing.
Oh, you have no idea.
No, I feel like I do have an idea.
I'd say that's a justifiable thing. If somebody's flying a drone in your backyard, peering in your windows, blow that motherfucker out. If you can just get a hold of the thing.
I would catch it. Yeah, that's what I would do.
Hold it hostage. Come here, bitch.
Right.
Come get your quad chopper.
Right. Then I would take a lot of photos of it.
Dust bunnies?
I would create a Facebook page with a hostage note.
Oh,
Bye, Nero. Have a great day.
I like it.
I'd head on to Walmart and get a burner phone and start sending my ransom request.
Look at you, CSI girl. Jesus.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to save the little commercial thing for next week.
Then I'll take it out of my...
Yeah, please. And I'll send you the whole little thing. We can put that in. So I just, in keeping with the fun of the vice presidential debate, I wanted everyone to know that whatever Donald Trump said, he hasn't said. There you have it.
That's my favorite game.
Zucchini. Zucchini.
Now,
he hasn't said it.
Wrong. Are you ready for my favorite quote?
Wrong.
Favorite quote so far.
Warmer.
I never said that.
I never said that. Where did you find that?
Warmer.
Where did you find that?
Mm-hmm.
One of the pundits on any one of the 9,000 things I listen
to Joey.
Has just said, a year from now, Donald Trump is going to stand in front of a monitor and say, I never ran for president.
I think that was NPR politics.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love it.
And it just sums up everything we've gone through for 50 months. I never ran for president.
I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that in here. Like, how in God's name? He goes to Mexico, and it's almost like he came back across the border and went, no one will have seen that.
I know him.
Yeah,
I
no one will have seen that. But Mike Pence, for the love of Christ, how he can do
anything. He won the debate. He won the
ahead of
tonight.
Time. He was so good, he won it before it even happened. I know. Zucchini.
Fast internet.
When I was watching it, because I was watching the whole thing and listening to it on the way here, and the entire time, Tim Kaine would say something, and Mike Pence would say, Donald Trump never said that. Donald Trump. And I thought, how? And Tim Kaine would look up and be like, if you go to this website, if you go here, it's on film. Like, you can't.
You can also call Sean Hannity.
Somebody call Sean Hannity!
Yeah, but then one of the podcasts that we're listening to called Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Good.
And?
They got.
I'm like, oh, ooh.
Did you listen to this? So one of the podcasts, I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Keep It at 1600.
Yeah.
They, through shady means, obtained Sean Hannity's cell phone number.
Which I appreciate very much. This
called
awesome.
Him, and the instant they identified themselves, he hung up. He was like, nope.
Really?
So someone did call Sean Hannity, and Sean Hannity...
He will give up the information.
Don't want to talk about it.
But the absolute best part was
they're
like...
He was at the debate.
They had a little internal debate as to where how they would do it. And I can't remember which guest was like, well, you know, I have his number. And it wasn't... I don't think it was Jon Favreau...
The episode I listened to, they didn't give up like the source.
Okay. No, but it was one of them sitting there says, well,
I've got his number.
Because they all do the pundit show, so they've all been on everything.
Sure.
And they make Jon Favreau's life miserable because he's always on CNN. He's always one of the eight people on CNN as Obama's speechwriter and involved with the campaign. Usually if they can't get David Axelrod, they get him.
Okay.
So he knows all these people. So sometimes when they're trashing people, he's like, you know, I have to work with them tomorrow. Like, you know I'm going in to CNN. Well. So they get it. And they're like, well, it is fair. Like they actually have like a little like devil on one shoulder, angel on the other, like, Trump did say to call him.
Yeah.
And we have his number. So isn't that what we've just been begging to do?
It's our moral obligation.
He didn't say to call him once.
Oh, my God.
He was going on and on. But apparently someone...
Why would anyone call
Sean
Hannity?
And I may be mistaken.
Why?
But wasn't Hannity in the audience at that debate?
I don't recall that.
Because that would be interesting. That's what I had heard on something. But
it would have been great though if he would have been around the room.
Someone turns around.
In one of the nests for the networks.
In the spin room.
He's right there, and the camera just all spun around and went right to him.
Oh,
Sean,
and did you
can
hear?
We have an up to date here? We
did
need
you
to
hear
Megyn
Kelly? Oh, God. Megyn Kelly decided that she was just not having any
more... I thought she was bleeding somewhere.
Oh, no. She decided she wasn't having enough.
You know her something.
Whatever.
She's had enough. Are you ready for this one? Megyn Kelly, and you can Google this because it was a great meme. She was like, I wonder if Trump is going to speak to an actual journalist tonight. Because he went right and spoke to Sean Hannity. So she's in Fox Studios throwing to Sean Hannity.
I
wonder if he'll speak to any journalist tonight. Oh, and it was one of those zucchinis that just get you when you're not looking, you know what
That's
I mean?
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, during...
It got a lot of play.
During the debate, Mike Pence spent much of the first and only presidential debate... Doing his damnedest to get Americans to forget all of the offensive things Trump has said. And in doing so, he was saying that, and he kept going back to it, that it was... Hillary and Tim Kaine ticket is who is
oh they're
the
insulting
insult
everyone they're
driven.
The in- oh
yeah,
yeah
I
they're the insult
that.
You're like Miss Piggy
how could you and that's where Tim Kaine was like, okay, wait, just give me a
just give me a second. I'm
like,
gonna
I didn't even need to prep for this part. There's this and this and this and this.
And I watched
he went down a litany of things.
25 minutes on closed captioning because I was over enjoying sushi and reading the debate, and I was like, I can't hear this. because they have like something on this screen and they had the debate over here and both hit closed captioning while they were playing lovely 80s music.
That's
the
right.
Sushi place is delightful. So I'm reading the debate and I'm like, even reading, like Tim Kaine is like just knocking him down. Like, yeah. Even with the poor person has to do live closed captioning. So every once in a while they just spell out zucchini because they don't, like, well, I don't know what that was.
I've long been convinced that they drink a little bit too while they're closed captioning. Sure.
Oh, they have to be. Well, you couldn't really keep up with it.
But then I tried captioning a video, like not live, just captioning it the way it's supposed to. It's harder than it looks.
Annette, I realize that Marnie answered your question. However,
Santa just is white.
There you go. That's your. That's
but
her.
She really is fighting to be known as a journalist, and she's trying to separate now that the that whole like sexual harassment scandal went down, mm-hmm. and I know that we're not talking about it now because the election's sucking up all the air. But Fox News is about to go through a major shakeup because Roger Ailes is gone.
Yeah.
And they have to decide. So Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly might not have jobs anymore.
I'm hoping for it.
But they might want to make them a right-leaning, but get rid of the editorial thing that you just know what's coming. So one of the things that Megyn Kelly has been like smartly positioning herself for...
To take over the whole fucking thing?
No, that she and Shepard
Smith.
Shepard Smith mm-hmm. are the only two actual journalists on the network. Like that's all they have.
One's a woman, one's gay,
and so they're
and not out.
But if you,
you're
keeping eye on what she's putting out to the world and allowing to become memes and allowing to get out into the zeitgeist,
mm-hmm.
she's positioning herself
she's
to be like
PR person.
Fire whoever you got to, but I'm a journalist. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not playing this game. And that Santa is white is going to come back and bite her in the ass.
I think so. Sure.
For how often she's just gone back and towed the line.
Yep.
So play it again.
Santa just is white.
So it really is going to come back against her. But she's positioning herself really smartly because as soon as the election's over, that next news cycle is going to be the changing of the guard at Fox because...
So after that bite,
if they lose the election, they've lost all credibility.
We can hope because they've been horrible...
After that comes back and bites her in the ass, you know what she's going to be saying?
Looks like it's back to the perfume kind of me.
That's a true story.
Well, during this whole thing, when Pence repeatedly tried to skirt around statements that Trump actually has made, he would shake his head and
roll his eyes. He did.
And he would just ignore the question. And then he, later on, Tim Kaine looked at him and said, have you noticed that I keep saying defend him? And he won't.
And he won't.
And
he can't.
Threw it out there because he can't. Right. And he said, I'm happy to defend Trump, Pence said. But Pence rarely actually defended him, instead dodging and outright denying the statements.
We call it bobbing and weaving.
Bobbing and weaving. Sure. Mike Pencing. I'm Mike Pencing my way around this.
You seem penceful.
You seem pensive.
Pensive.
For instance, like with Russia, they brought up Russia. Duh.
The hard on that they all seem to have. Because Pence praised him.
He did.
In the part that I was reading along with, he got in a zucchini up
Putin's ass?
Putin's ass again. Oh. And I was like, what the fuck is it with you two and Russia?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
I don't know. It is truly bizarre.
The Russia thing? Yeah, I don't know.
It's bizarre.
Well, because the quote is that Pence said to CNN, he says, I think it's inarguable that Vladimir Putin has been a stronger leader in his country than Barack Obama has been in this country. And that's going to change the day Donald Trump becomes president.
And what he was saying was repeating exactly what Donald Trump said.
Yeah, so
because
you're like,
that's what.
Yeah.
Exactly
so you're looking to be more Putin-like and invade other countries and like.
And just be really horrible to gay people and people.
Yeah.
That actually seems like their platform. So I think, kind of get it.
Yeah. Zucchini.
It really is it's a bizarre way. And for those of us that grew up with Reagan, it's just a bizarre way for the Republican Party to be going as like pro-Russia. You know, Reagan, if he could remember how to spin, but he's got Alzheimer's, so he can't. He is just spinning in his grave. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? Right.
Yeah, even he can remember
that
shit.
That he had is still trying to be like, is she dead? She died.
Still dead.
Yeah, still dead. Yep. When
because the titless wonder would be right up there.
You had a party when she died.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe a little bit.
We did.
When Kaine challenged Pence to defend Trump's comments that more nations should get nuclear weapons, because you know they should, right? Pence said he never said that. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
As far as taxes, when Kaine pointed out that Trump had once promised to release his tax returns, Pence replied, he said he'll do it. Okay, but
you got 35 days right. left.
Still hasn't.
The last time he said he'd do it was if and only if
Hillary
were to release
the 30,000 emails.
Magically release deleted emails.
Right.
Like email that no longer exist. If you can find those fuckers,
I'll release
my taxes.
Right. The idea of immigration, Kane said that Trump wants to have a deportation force. They want to go house to house. He went through this whole thing.
We watched that part here.
Yeah. No, he didn't. He did, according to Pence. No. And he just sat there just shaking his head, looking like an ass. Mexicans. Pence tried to defend Trump's comments about Mexicans after Kane pointed out that the GOP presidential candidate called them called immigrants from the country rapists. He also
and
said
murders.
Rapists, murders,
goes,
drug dealers.
Maybe some of them are good people.
Pence said, yeah, but he also said many of them are good people.
No, some.
This is just what they have.
Oh, right. But he actually said, some of them.
The ones
but
that clean
real.
His house.
Yeah, the ones that clean his house.
Miss housekeeping.
The skinny ones who were Miss Universe.
Oh, well, the other thing that you didn't see on SNL was Melania moments, where Melania sits there pensive by the window with
Miss. Pensive!
Oh, God. Melania moments is the other one. That's it's like Jack Handy.
Oh!
You know what I mean? It's like Dear Diary.
Dear Diary. Oh,
what happens to the people on Fifth Avenue? Is there a Fourth Avenue? Is there a Sixth Avenue?
And what I love, speaking of Handys,
What?
Oh,
see,
that segue?
Segue in because the editor's note for the HuffPost on this just it made me laugh because of all the, I mean, for real, that's all that Pence is doing is giving Trump a handy. A little one. You know, just because everything's little. But Donald Trump, the editor's note, Donald Trump regularly incites political violence and is a serial liar, rampant xenophobe, racist, misogynist, and birther who has repeatedly pledged to ban all Muslims, 1.6 billion members of an entire religion, from entering the U.S. And that is on the bottom, I think, of every
article that references Donald Trump. That editorial note appears at the bottom.
Yep.
And has since... God, since like the beginning of the year. It's been a whole year they've been doing
that. For everyone's vocabulary and the joy of playing Scrabble, we as a nation have become so comfortable throwing around the word xenophobe or xenophobe for the last 15 months.
True.
Like, there's got to be something to it if you can just whip that word out at a moment's notice and know you're using it correctly.
Yeah.
Something you probably heard twice before
2015
is now all of a sudden like...
The word of the year.
The word of the year, xenophobe.
Yeah. That'll probably
be Angela. Oh, God.
That's the theme of Orson Scott Card's Ender's Game.
Yeah.
If you were a nerd in middle school, you're familiar with xenocide and xenophobia because of Ender's Game.
Oh, there you go.
Where they were killing an alien race.
Oh.
No. Well, they were wiping them out.
Where's that? Well, in our final story of headlines, before we move on to entertainment.
At 9:30.
At 9:17.
Really
the Donald, or at least a giant cutout of his head, was found posing as a second passenger in an HOV lane in Washington State last Tuesday morning, according to police, who shared the image in a tweet, which looked like this. The larger-than-life head was attached to the passenger seat of a headrest during a traffic stop near Auburn, Washington.
His mouth does look
kind of
like a tiny butthole.
Yeah, it does. The high occupancy vehicle lane, or HOV, is strictly reserved for vehicles that carry two or more people. Violators face a $136 fee, according to the state's Department of Transportation website. This wasn't the first time a Washington State driver has tried to skirt HOV rules in creative ways. Previous busts have included one driver who used a zombie baby in a passenger seat, as well as a cutout of the so-called most interesting man in the world from the Dos Equis beer ads.
Wow.
The most interesting man in the world.
I want to say we did a story a couple years ago about somebody who was using something else in a passenger seat. I think it was a mannequin that they actually had.
There's been mannequins, there's been blow up sex dolls,
sure,
people ordering
kinds
stuff
from
the internet.
Sure.
What are you gonna use that for? The HOV lane.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. France.
Sure.
Where have you been?
Well, they had Anant is asking a question about
and
the
I have two
Philippines
stories
president.
Yeah, I have two stories
Do you
coming
have that
up.
One?
I have two news stories coming up, and one of them is about
Are these for your entertainment?
No, they're for a news story. So,
or do you want to just go now?
Yeah, we'll just go all into it and zucchini your way through.
And
we'll start with a story that has been delighting me for the entire week, and no one picked it up, so I'll take it. I didn't give Kat a chance, but we'll just assume that Kathy wasn't ready.
Oh, wait, is this the one that I told you have to take?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
So Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, just perpetual asshole and believer that Santa just is white.
He just is.
Was suspended without pay Friday morning, which would have been, still the same Friday. For the entire rest of his term for being found guilty of ethics violations in his defiance of a Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriages. Moore had faced ethics charges for the second time in 13 years, the first for his refusal to allow the removal of a Ten Commandments monument in the court lobby. And that was a while ago. And he was taken out of office over that and then got reelected in. So he was actually not a judge after refusing to get rid of this big marble. I mean, if you Google what the fuck he had, this Ten Commandments thing. Oh. And my problem with it is that one of the commandments, a couple of them are lovely and very helpful.
Sure.
But the one is you will honor no God before me.
Sure.
So that means that you can only be a Christian and get fair treatment in that court. Like, it's kind of built right in that if you're not a Christian believer, you're not going to get fair treatment in this court because you've broken one of the commandments outside the fucking building.
Right.
Like, and he did not see the problem with that. Like, I don't feel comfortable with you as my judge because I already broke one of your fucking commandments
right.
out
on
there.
The way
I don't
in.
Believe in your God. Like, I broke one walking in here.
Right.
Didn't see that. Was booted out of the judiciary in Alabama and then was elected back in. He ran a couple years ago. So then he started this whole thing of telling people not clerks and people not to give out same-sex marriage licenses and stood by it. Well,
in
now,
defiance of the Supreme Court's
law.
Decision.
So after the decision. This was after Kim Davis. He did his own little crusade.
Oprah stood on the steps, and you get gay marriage,
and you get gay marriage. And so Roy Moore became an asshole once again, and he is truly one of the worst humans that's ever lived. I mean, on so many different issues, he's just a horrible...
There's so many of them. It's bubbling to the surface in the past year.
Yeah, it's so hard.
He really is a horrible human being. And he has been for a long time. This is not new. He didn't.
Oh, no, no. I realize that. But I'm just saying it's really bubbled to the surface the past 18 months.
Yeah, people are just kind of coming out of the woodwork.
For the second time, the Supreme Court of our land has been like, that is not the way any of this works.
Put it on my wall.
Right. It's like it's serious. Right. It's like explaining the internet to somebody. Like, this guy desperately wants to be a judge, but he doesn't want to be impartial. He doesn't want like the whole like justice is blind. Like, he wants you to swear that you're a Christian. You know what I mean? And you're straight and you're white.
The Ten Commandments monument, the big marble behemoth, was his idea. Like, he made the plans a month after he was elected the first time. He made the plans to put it in because he felt that the Alabama Supreme Court building required something grander than a wooden plaque. So the Ten Commandments was already there, but he said, well, that tiny little thing's not enough. We need 10 fucking commandments.
Sure. And it's ton. It was like a ton or something. Like, it was
I recall that.
Huge.
I recall that.
And it got it got moved somewhere less offensive because they couldn't destroy
it. Who paid for
that? Oh, no, the citizens of Alabama.
Yeah, the fine citizens.
But wait, but wasn't it outside, but it got moved to...
No, it was inside, and then it got moved outside. That was the first compromise.
There were some installation difficulties regarding the structural support of the weight.
Wait, anybody but white people do it? I don't know.
Yeah, and they installed it in the central rotunda, so...
So you walked in,
lobby,
that was
right.
it.
And then,
right.
and then
like,
it moved out.
Fuck.
One of the compromises was to put it outside, and that just turned out to be worse.
Yeah, here's this ugly thing in our house. Let's put it on the lawn.
Well,
And then I'm sure probably graffiti. It's just a target then from there on out.
So then in a story that's been bubbling under. And
so
I,
wait, pardon me. Let me interrupt you for a second. Right. Do we know where it wound up? Do we know where it finally wound up?
Oh, yeah, that is our question. I wanted to know that,
welcome.
Too. Fuck
I
you.
I bring it right back, zucchini you.
That's a fine question. It's not in the Wikipedia.
Oh, I thought for sure it would have been right there to see where it finally wound up in Sanford and Son's backyard.
And I
I'm on Wikipedia, so I'm piecing through.
Oh, you've
got to
go through 8,000 lines of text.
Hang on.
If
Let
I'm
us
not
know when
mistaken,
you get there.
It was put somewhere more appropriate. Like, it's on
a church?
Yeah, it's on the lawn of a church or something. Okay. It wasn't destroyed, but it did make it somewhere slightly more appealing. And so if you have not been following world politics through all this, a few months ago or a few weeks ago, it hasn't been long, the Philippines elected a crazy
asshole
motherfucker president.
Oh.
And he...
Huge.
He's crazy, but he's...
Duterte?
Yes.
Yeah.
How are we saying his name?
I think it's Duterte.
Dumb fucker.
Yeah, I would
John
go
John Oliver did a whole thing
I would
on
go
him
Duterte,
in the spring.
Yeah. And he was running... He is on this thing of, like, just literally murdering drug dealers and trying to get rid of drugs in the city, but doing like night raids and murders and gangster style killings. And he's kind of a freakazoid, and how mm-hmm. he won remains a mystery. Like, even the country's kind of like, we voted for
that. How did that? Right.
Kind of like the 9/11 bill mm-hmm. that everyone's like, oh, shit, that was bad.
Yeah.
Or exactly. The Brexit. We're like, God damn it, we should Google something.
Yep.
So now, as of, I think this is today's story.
Yeah, he's a nutball, that one.
Rodrigo. Mm-hmm. Unleashed new vitriol against the United States, took another caustic turn Tuesday when he threatened to break up with the U.S. and said President Barack Obama can go to hell. And the U.S. and the Philippines have just started a joint military exercise because the Philippines kind of used to be ours and we fucked them over and we don't come out real good in a Philippine story.
American history makes us look horrible.
Horrible. That was part of our...
Pay no attention to this.
Oddly, we've done a lot of shitty things.
Americans are pretty terrible and yet we're really proud of ourselves.
Yeah. And the Philippines really is our finest hour.
Yeah. Don't talk about Vietnam.
Kind of wish we were
no.
So the war does begin Tuesday and they'll last until October 12th.
It really makes you miss old Imelda, doesn't it? And old Miss Marcos exactly and all her shoes.
She was ours, though.
Yeah.
She's part of our shit show.
Yeah, but it would be nice to have her back, though.
Not really.
Really?
That doesn't sell
she
well.
She doesn't scream out about it going to hell. And
we just lost our Filipino listeners.
Yes, yeah. She's the wrong one to root for.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, not that Duterte's the right one, because he actually campaigned.
Santa just is white.
He actually campaigned on a philosophy of murdering criminals. Like, he has admitted to literally killing people and said he would do it again himself.
Like, gangland-style killings,
Straight out of Compton. Straight out of the Philippines.
And now he's doing, like, a Cuba thing where he's trying to align himself purposefully with China and Russia against us.
China. That's it. I said it right. I win. We're done.
We still have 88 minutes left.
It's 88 minutes. So now we're just gonna zucchini our way into entertainment. We're gonna talk about a few things. Don't pay the teaser. We don't have that kind of time.
We do too.
No time.
You just don't have anything quick and witty to say.
Oh, I do, but I will.
Oh, imagine.
Okay. So we have to go with
fucks me over on this.
Two movies that I two.
So I'm gonna do this.
I'm gonna
do this instead. We're just gonna do that.
All right. That is it. Two movie reviews, the 10-year anniversary of my favorite show.
Ruin the production quality of this fucking show. I'll not have it.
I need to make a pronouncement about something in the world.
Oh my goodness, a pronouncement
from Al Perkins, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, I need to make a sticky note.
We have a rollout of what is proving to be, aside from a little rape history with the director, to be one of the greatest things going on.
That then.
Oh, no. And we do have to talk about something else that just came up.
Oh!
And then a new favorite TV show that you guys mentioned last week, so I took your advice and must agree with you. But we're going to start with The Death Den, and this is completely unexpected. She just flashed me with her tits.
Death Den!
And we're going to get some production one way or another.
We haven't played this in so long.
So,
do you need the story?
No, I'm going to find it right now. Good. So we're going to go with Agnes Nixon, born in 1922. Uh-huh. Creator of One Life to Live, All My Children, and Loving. And if you put a gun to my head, I would have swear to God she started General Hospital, too.
I thought she did. She did. All My Children, General Hospital.
But they're saying All My Children, One Life to Live, and Loving.
Stand by. I'm on.
So she created all these modern TV shows, and she brought so many topics to light, especially on One Life to Live. She brought marital rape up. She brought, like, taking the burden of stigma off of women for prostitution and placing it on the men, which is where we get Judith Light from her character on One Life to Live. And I did watch it then, and I love me some Judith Light.
I still
love
Judith Light. She was on Colbert the other night. I still love her.
She was a writer on As the World Turns and head writer for Search for Tomorrow, Guiding Light and Another World. She educated women about cervical cancer. She educated people about pap smears. She got the word out there about smoking and being on the pill and the risk for cancer. She was one of the first people in television to get the AIDS crisis onto TV with a character with AIDS and have them interact with people and just changed minds of people over daytime television and brought, like, the American
people, life to the TV.
Yeah.
Real life.
And really did bring real life issues into people's homes with really great storylines. I mean, there was some tough shit that she was pulling. the anti-war movement into all my children, homosexuality, interracial couples. All this stuff went on all my children. Like, all my children, they had a lot of kids. They had a lot to do.
So and a lot of, after she passed on TV, there were a lot of actors and actresses that were just praising her because she gave them their break. Absolutely. Like, they became these new characters on all of these various shows. So they were all just praising her for, she was so great. She was supportive of all of the, you know, the new people. She would talk to them about the characters and who they were and how to be all that. So there were a lot of people that were praising her, aside from the fact that, I mean, long running soap operas on TV forever.
The landscape of daytime television, as they do every time they have a daytime Emmy, just about every. I'm surprised it's not called the Agnes Nixon at this point, because she pretty much redefined daytime television from the 60s.
Saying you won an Agnes doesn't sound as glamorous.
Yeah, but it could if you work on it a little bit. An Oscar doesn't sound really appealing either till I sell it to you. But so she died September 28th at her home. Four children. Her husband predeceased her in 1996. And so she lived to the ripe old age of 93, a good life, and really did a lot for the media, just the medium and, like, all these social issues.
And apparently was responsible for more hours of television programming than any other single person in history.
Wow. Yeah. That's very cool.
And just about every
fun facts by she Kat apparently did fun not with Kat create General Hospital. Frank and Doris Hursley.
Oh, yes.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, you would
And I want to say that they showed a clip of her. She also not only was a writer creator of this, did she not star? Star is not the right word. Wasn't she in some of the episodes herself?
Not that I know of.
Because I thought there was a shot.
They may have thrown her into somewhere where she could get a little camera credit for like a 500th episode or something like that.
One of the things I saw, she was in a hospital bed. So I'm like, maybe she was a character in a hospital scene.
They may have thrown her into something. But as far as I know, she was not in front of the camera. Like, she wasn't an actress that later became.
Because she looked like, because when you see her, to me, she looked like somebody who would have been an actress in the day who was one of the glamour girls.
She does have two actress credits on IMDb, both for her soap. She was on One Life to Live. It looks like three episodes.
She had an arc.
And All My Children, she was in six episodes.
Oh, wow. She had a bigger
arc. I can see. Yeah, All My Children.
Okay.
Makes sense.
That's cool.
So, and she was, she's believed to have written the first health-related storyline on a daytime soap opera, and that was the cervical cancer one that got women to get pap smears, because a friend of hers had died of cervical cancer, and she put it right into an episode. So, I mean, if you can imagine when, you know, cervical cancer was considered risky, I mean, like...
As current as today's headline, she just made it.
Seriously, if you watch the daytime Emmys, they pretty much dedicate most of the show to her, because almost everything either was written by her at some point or then eventually created by her.
Oh, the next daytime Emmys, they'll have a huge thing about her, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and that'll be one of those things, when the daytime Emmys come on next late spring, early summer, it will probably be changed the Agnes. Like, they pretty much acknowledge her on the regular.
Got it.
She's like the Lorne Michaels of things.
Or the Merv Griffin.
I had forgotten about that. Marnie just showed that to me, and I was a huge fan. So we'll go to a movie that's rolling... It's rolling out right now. It's called Birth of a Nation on purpose. Those of you that know the W.D. Griffith's silent masterpiece, and I use that lightly, Birth of a Nation was about the birth of the Ku Klux Klan. And it's a very racist propaganda movie. But it's considered like the first full-length feature movie with like a complete story and a through line. It's just a horrible story and a through line. And it's generally acknowledged as a great piece of art. It's just, unfortunately, it's broke KKK and it's god awful. But so this new thing
is unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
And it's about a slave rebellion that went on in the South. And so they purposefully named this Birth of a Nation to like change that thing in your head, that when you hear somebody's like, I love, it's like hearing somebody like Ayn Rand, or however you pronounce her first name, Ayn Rand, or that stupid ass bitch.
Cunt bitch.
So when someone says that, you're like, oh, douche. You know what I mean? You just know that if someone lists those books, that's
I love David Duke.
Ooh. Yeah.
Walk away.
Ann Coulter.
And Nat Turner is the director and star. He's got this rape case that's in front of him that's kind of killing the buzz about this movie. So you have to go see the movie and take that out of the equation and just watch this for the piece of art it is. I know it's hard. We all have problems with it. But the reviews are coming out, and they've been coming out since Sundance in January, that this just is a work of art and a great piece of American cinema. And so now USA Today has gotten a hold of it, and it's starting to roll out. So look for it near you. You're going to hear a lot about Nat Turner. Just kind of put him aside and look at what he's presented, like, art-wise, as far as this movie goes. But it's called Birth of a Nation, and it's just getting rave reviews everywhere about a slave uprising in 1831 Virginia. And can't say, like, the things that I've heard just sound make it sound so good, and it really has been on a roll since January to win Best Picture. It's like, what's ever going to top this? But then this rape thing comes up, and it makes it kind of evil, which we talked about last week. So we'll go back to my list. Okay, so the two movies I saw Snowden. It's in the theaters right now. Mm-hmm. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, my husband, my Mr. Maddow, if you will, my Mr. Darcy, as Edward Snowden. And it's another one of those movies like The Walk or Man on Wire or Milk, where I'm like, it's great to go see Milk, but the documentary pretty much gave you what you needed to know.
Right.
And in the movie Milk, they just... actually just stole scenes from the documentary.
But I think that if you haven't been introduced to
the documentary,
it was a good way to start, because that's
I agree with that. So this is another movie that the documentary's out. I've already seen it, Citizen Four. It won the Oscar. It's following that same trajectory of Man on Wire, Times of Harvey Milk. There's already been an Oscar-winning documentary. Why do we need someone to act it out for us? Like, when the story's already there. This does give you a little bit more pieces to his story and a little bit more background than they were able to get, because Citizen Four was all told in that, where they were all being held down in that that hotel room in Hong Kong. Okay. And this gives you a little bit more backstory, a little bit more information on, like, how the spy, how the NSA was, like, looking into his life too and his paranoia. And it really does give you that thing, because and Obama comes off as a bad guy in it, because
well, it's Obama's fault.
Right, yeah, well, it is Obama's fault. I think we know that.
Comment down.
But the problem with this is you're not sure that Obama was going to fix it. He ran on the promise that he was, like, we all knew it was happening. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of the start of the third act of The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Which is why I think, since that's one of the biggest movies of all time, everyone that saw Batman was like, well, wasn't that already a real thing? When Snowden came out and said they were doing it, we're like, well, yeah, well, we learned that Batman 5 years ago. Like, what are we worried about?
Right.
Batman chose to use it, so we know it's being used. You know what I mean? Like, it's the plot. It is the hinge point of Lucius Fox and Batman in The Dark Knight. So when he said it, I think the whole world was like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, it really is. We had reached, we'd already reached maximum saturation of putting your entire life on the internet, and even putting videos of you committing a crime and then wondering how you got caught doing the crime. So there was kind of that feeling of, well, didn't we already know that everything we're putting online, and, like, you don't we all think the camera's on?
Mm-hmm. You should.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, so it really, that's the thing, is it didn't shock the, he was like 5 years late to being like, well, we kind of already, I mean, seriously, Batman covered it pretty extensively.
Kind of already had shot the wad on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a stiff sock.
If you will.
The young
there
man
was a stiff
thing.
Sock.
So, but it really interesting, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt gives another great performance, and he is just the greatest thing on feet.
And no, and he was
Man
so
on
he's
Wire.
Snowden, but he's also Man on Wire.
He's also Man
right,
on Wire.
Yeah.
So just a
I
very
forgot
versatile
that he was in both of those
versatile
yeah.
actor. And then we get to Whiskey Tango.
Versatile.
Oh, he really is, because he gives you something different every time.
That's what you hope.
So Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Which is
Tina Fey.
Tina
right?
Fey. Mm-hmm. In what, in the, like, mid to late 80s would have been Jessica Lange's tour de force Oscar nominated performance.
Okay.
It just, it hits every bell and whistle. It's a funnier movie, but it's very much a drama about a woman journalist that goes to Iraq because what else is going on in my life? I guess I'll go over there. And you're just left in this weird story that's kind of funny, but and about 20 minutes in, I had to get out my computer and look up IMDb and be like, I feel like this is a real person.
Okay.
Like, I feel like this is not a made up story.
Sure.
Even though it's written by Robert Carlock, who writes, he, like, co-produced the last couple seasons of Friends. He did Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
He's the co-creator of 30 Rock.
Because a lot of people went to that because it's Tina Fey and it's going to be funny.
And it is. There are funny
pieces
parts
of it,
to
right.
it. Yeah, there are funny
and
parts to it.
I haven't seen it, but that's what I had heard.
But it's a really, really well done, mm-hmm. movie, and it really is. If this was the late 90s, it would be Cher, Jessica Lange, not quite Meryl Streep. It's a little below the Meryl Streep level, sure. But
aren't so many things.
Like, yeah. You know. Glenn Close would have had a great time with it. Sure. There's a little bit of humor, but it really is this woman that's thrown into this thing and like, and becoming addicted to, like, it's the competitiveness of television journalism as she spends her time in Afghanistan. If I said Iraq earlier, I meant Afghanistan. She's in Afghanistan. So when we go to war with Iraq, then she's kind of left with, like, the war that nobody cares about. So she kind of becomes, like, an adrenaline junkie looking for better stories to get her news coverage because she's stranded in this country. And it's a true story. It's based on a book called, like, the Baghdad Shuffle. Not the Baghdad Shuffle. It's something Shuffle. And I guess on the back cover of the book, one of the reviews said she's, like, it's as if Tina Fey went to, I mean, it's as if Liz Lemon went to Afghanistan. Mm. And that's what made Tina Fey buy the rights to it. And, like, Lorne Michaels produced it, written by Robert Carlock, that does all the stuff with Kimmy Schmidt and everything she's ever done. That's her, like, partner in producing and writing. So it has, like, a light touch, but it's really well done. I really, like, it was a really enjoyable message. And Margot Robbie was in it in a very amusing part. It is the 10-year anniversary of Dexter, Showtime's highest rated show.
I've been hearing you yap about that show for a decade.
Yep.
I know, right?
Still my favorite show ever. 10 years, and Showtime has not abandoned any plans to bring back Dexter. They have a carrot of money out to Michael C. Hall whenever he wants to, and it turns out when they renewed for that last season, the 8th season, they were like, do what you got to, Dexter lives, or we just turn it off right now. Like, they got to the point of negotiation with the showrunners and Michael C. Hall, like, you can do whatever you want to for the last season. We're all making money off this, but if you kill him off, we don't air it, and it ends with this season.
No.
So Showtime said, this cash cow might come back to life. He stays alive.
Don't kill him.
Not that it was an option or I think anybody was going to.
But they're like, look, bitch.
Yeah, but it turns out, so Showtime is being very honest
about,
You break up
Ross and Rachel, we're done.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're not whatever just, you want to we're not taking season. A break. We're not taking a break. Yeah, no. We're done.
But and one of the funny things like that is the Cheers thing where Ted Danson and Shelley Long had convinced the writers for the 5th season to get Sam and Diane together. They were tired of playing it. They just wanted the characters to be together. They didn't want all the conflict. Let's just make them a couple. And then Shelley Long left. Hmm. And then she didn't renegotiate her contract. And the writers were like, fuck you. We could have written you off better.
Right.
But, you know, they were left with that. But so that was a funny thing that the Showtime was like, nah, this might make money again.
Sure.
Settle the fuck down.
Right.
The SNL, which we've alluded to all along. If you have not seen it, find it.
For real.
Alec Baldwin, Kate McKinnon doing just spot on television. And then the 42nd year of your program, if you can make yourself relevant to the conversation and maybe have a little small part in the outcome of the election, because you turn the tide. Mm-hmm. And you really, in case there are some people out there, they're like, Trump won that debate. How?
Yeah.
And you just watch that. And I have to say, this is my decree for the entire world, or my proclamation. But whoever it was in like 1990, 1991, and it must be from Beetlejuice, because that's true, Beetlejuice is before then. Whoever sat with Alec Baldwin, who was always like the heavy, he was always in dramas, he was this really handsome leading man. And it's very rare that someone crosses over. But whoever looked at him and said, God, you're kind of funny, you want to do some comedy? And, you know, gave him the little bit in Beetlejuice where he's kind of funny, but he's still playing kind of the straight guy.
Right.
But, oh my God, that from the first time he was ever on SNL until this last Saturday, this guy is fucking funny.
And I think last Saturday, his Trump
is
the best.
That's
it's genius.
He's perfect.
It's genius. And I think it's probably the best character.
Yeah.
Or the best imitation that I've seen of him. And who's the guy that was on... Because he was on the Family Feud part that typically does him, Bill Clinton.
Oh, it was, and, no, yeah, it was Taron Killam that was, but he's gone this season. That used
Taron
to do
Taron Killam?
Yeah, he used to do, he's been doing Trump for years, and he's gone this year, so they were without him. But there is the guy that does Bill Clinton that sometimes does him.
Yeah, we're right. That guy. I mean, it was kind of like, eh.
But at this point, but you this can't one. Be Alec Baldwin for it. He's just done. Lock stock, barrel, we're done.
Oh. Yeah, oh, Aaron, you're absolutely correct. He is great on The Match Game. He's funny.
Yeah. I have to watch that. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to watch
you'll like that. It really is.
And whoever made he's that decision smooth. That let him transition from, like, really serious, heavy action star to, like, mm-hmm. I'm fucking funny, and you're all going to notice it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it was Tina Fey.
No, because this started...
She's the one that pushed him to do it.
No,
but to go into 30 Rock, though.
No, but in the 90s, he's been on that Boy Scout...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Boy Scout SNL. Sketch sure, sure, SNL sure.
in the 90s. And what made that so surprising was you're like, oh, Alec Baldwin, him on SNL.
Right.
And then he really... That was the start of that particular renaissance of SNL was the Alec Baldwin episode with the sleepover camp with Adam Sandler. That's just uncomfortable and so fucking funny. So well, I want whoever has an idea to be in charge of everything for the rest of time because they make sound decisions.
But think about in the past with Kim Basinger. Mm-hmm. Basinger?
Whichever.
Basinger?
I've never known.
But his ex-wife. Know. And that, I mean... His career really could have bottomed out.
Oh, and it should because he has meltdowns all the time.
Threats and the beating up paparazzi.
Oh, screaming at his daughter.
I thought he's tanked, again, but then he did that, and I'm like, sold. Done.
I was sold with him though from 30.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like anybody who would look at him. And
but
think,
he comes
oh,
on
done.
And does this, and you're like,
I thought your roast. I thought your roast was tonight. Why are you in a tuxedo? It's after 5. What am I, a farmer? Like those lines on 30 Rock were just
right.
And no judgment.
No.
Saddam Hussein. When he does that, I'm Ronald Reaganing. Only 3 people have done it. Lea Iacocca and No Judgment Saddam Hussein. That show was just so brilliantly done.
I forget what the whole build-up to it was, but he's the one that makes the reference about Rachel Maddow, only one of us can wear this hair.
And because it's 30 Rock, there is no build-up to it. That's how he gets out of the scene. I have to go. I have to go talk to Rachel Maddow. Only one of us can have this hair.
Oh, that's how
and
it was.
And that's
okay.
just his
that's
exit from
the get out of the room. Yeah.
And everyone knows my favorite humor is the throwaway lines that you're not supposed to even listen to. And that's all 30 Rock is. They have a conversation, and then everything on the side is something completely inane.
Only one of us can have this hair at the same time.
Yeah.
Or an elf. When, the, you know, just sitting in the background of the scene that's going on, you hear Amy Sedaris. Oh, I've never tried to spay cats. Well, bring them over. How many got? 13? And then, that's the conversation she's having behind the thing. And as you listen, like, what did that lady just say back there? Never spayed cats. Come bring them over. How many say you got? 13? So we did that. And then the last thing is the TV show that you guys recommended last week, just in passing. And then Buddy Early decided to, like, toot the horn over mm-hmm. The Story of Us.
Oh, This Is Us.
This is us.
I'm sorry. I keep calling it The Story of Us, which is a Bruce Willis movie with Michelle Pfeiffer. The Story of Us.
Oh, what a wonderful,
isn't that delightful?
Wonderful program.
And we didn't know how they were going to do a second episode, right? We were saying, like, fuck it. Just
seriously, they're going to leave every episode with, twists.
Right.
Every single episode is going to end that way and drive us all crazy.
The first one, total agreement. You could have just stopped there. And it would have been a delightful
movie.
Right. It would have been a wonderful way to spend an hour.
Holiday season movie.
Absolutely. And they could have kept replaying it. And
it was
just
like the Family Stone.
I enjoyed except for that. I didn't end up face down crying at the table.
But the second one, it was like, how are they going to? They're not going to get me.
Right. They're
going to
lose
time.
Me. Nope. They got you.
Fuck.
Yeah. No. It's really.
How did
it's
you
well
get me
written,
this time? Yeah.
Very natural acting. And if you watch it on demand, They have like a little sit down around a table like this where some of the cast members talk about their process. And Sterling Brown from The People vs. O.J. Simpson, recent Emmy winner.
Oh, really?
So good.
Played Chris Darden in the O.J. Simpson.
The dad of the triplets, Mandy Moore's husband, is so good.
Yes.
And
Jess from Gilmore Girls.
That's Jess.
Okay.
Oh, I couldn't place it.
That's the bad boy from Gilmore Girls.
Just heartbreaking when he was like, there's 3 cribs, there's 3 shirts. No, we're not having this conversation. I'm like, don't jinx that.
Yeah. Oh.
I was like, oh my God, you're in a hospital. Don't jinx that shit.
I know.
But if you haven't watched The Story of Us, just really well written, well done, and it's just a lovely, simple show with really nice acting and nice writing.
Yeah. And the story of the very heavy set gal that's in it.
And her boyfriend.
And that boyfriend is hysterical.
I love the boyfriend just winning. So too. Much.
Absolutely
you
winning.
You just love
him. You fall in love a little bit more every time he's on. And I think it really addresses because, you know, many times for the bigger girls or the bigger people, really, because he's a big guy. But those eater anonymous things, Jesus, it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Oh, whenever they're at the meeting?
Yes. And the looks that he has on his face, like, oh my God, what am I doing here? You know, and it makes him crazy. And then he just kind of laughs about stuff. It really is a delight. And seeing it being portrayed so truthfully.
So honestly.
I mean, so and I like honestly.
That, and I like that you get a little bit of her story of where it, like some of her issues with food. Like, that was kind of upsetting to watch. And Mandy Moore, and I'll say it again, Mandy Moore, she only appears like every 6 or 7 years, but when she shows up, pay attention, she's very good at what she does. Yeah.
She really is.
She really is.
And she's a pretty girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, she
she
was cute, but now, like, seeing her on there, I'm like, what? Yeah, she's,
so
she's
a delight to watch, too. I was just really, really impressed. And I've had a lovely schedule this week, so I really was able to like settle in and enjoy that. And watching the two little round tables afterwards,
where
they talked about it, but just I was charmed the shit out of me.
Sure, yep.
Let me just make sure I have nothing else down here. I don't think I do. I think that's everything.
I have one meme. I have one meme that popped up on a friend's Facebook that I wanted to show you all, only because it was kind of funny, and it's a tiny toss back to the clowns, but I thought you'd appreciate it. Just read it yourself.
for listener
That's
only
funny.
Participants, the meme says, some of y'all girls gotta chill with the makeup until we get this clown situation under control.
It's very funny.
That is a good
and now it's appropriate.
Though I haven't got a jingle together for it yet or any graphics, but I think it's coming. It's on my master plan. I think it's time we toss to our latest segment called Two Things. Kat Carlson.
Two Zucchini.
The music ensues.
Graphics flying in, things happen, and it's like Two Things with Kat Carlson.
Coming in 2018 to the show with Clayton McKee. Nice.
We're not in a hurry. Hashtag not in a hurry.
We're never
There'll be
in
too
hurry.
Many technicals if we rush it.
Yeah. So I'm trying this thing where I just try and organically come up with my two things because then that just avoids having to prepare.
Well, you've got
for the
3 hours before your segment to
I've
even do it. So I think you've got material to work with.
You could even say a week.
The problem is so
I was even thinking about those other hours. Sorry.
The problem is so thing number one is I understand that everyone is election obsessed.
Oh, sure.
Like I am too. You know what I mean? I'm listening to 4 different election podcasts now.
Yeah.
It's
sorry.
Out of control and people are dropping like flies off of social media.
Think of how much free time we're gonna have.
Well, and I'm sure everyone in the I shouldn't say everyone, but you know, like poor Anant for sure is like, can we talk about something else?
And our international listeners.
I get it.
Wait till your election. Totally you're gonna want us to talk about your shit when it's done, when yours is up.
You know, believe it or not, Anant didn't say much.
No, but I'm sure. Sometimes something important is going to come up.
It was a very important election.
Something important is going to come up.
And it does. And it's all.
He's very funny. But I understand. He's like, can we please?
There's going to be some fucking topic he's going to want to get on. Just like Amina and this fucking idiot that got robbed. Nobody gives a shit.
But yeah. Everyone, please just deep breath. 35 more days, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Please don't stab your neighbor over the election.
Focus on Christmas coming or something else that you guys fucking care
about. No, just stab the clowns.
Breaking news number two.
Yeah.
Clayton McKee just said focus on Christmas instead.
I'm just trying to distract people. I was at Home Depot the other day.
His favorite time of the year.
Two things. Because this is the second time. Yeah, I saw your post about Home Depot.
Because I hate it.
Are you softening to this?
Because
now you've encouraged our listeners to think about it.
No, they cleared out the corner of a Home Depot. We're not even to caramel caramel candy and that horrible Halloween bullshit. We haven't got there.
Caramel apples and candy.
Whatever it is, and pumpkin spice
Clayton,
up your ass.
Clayton, it's late now, though. Like, honestly, this is later when...
do they usually do it Labor Day?
They usually do it right after Labor Day.
Around
and it's
birthday?
Been insane.
For what?
For Christmas.
The Christmas shit.
They cleared out that corner of Home Depot for all that crap that's coming in.
Between
so what
like the
was in that
15th,
corner that you're missing?
They do that. Ugh.
What do you mean? What was in it?
You seem always, very upset about the
patio.
It's just every time that patio furniture and plants and shit.
I feel like Hillary Clinton in a debate. Yeah. I just
there's just a tiny now. There's where all the evaporative cooler and summer fans and air conditioners were. That's where they've crammed all the Halloween shit. Yeah. It doesn't even get a full big thing. But now October 1st, they clear that whole corner out, and we get a full 3 months of Santa just is white in Home Depot. Yeah. The only good thing about it is you can start buying the lights that I like now, but only because I want to buy enough to last me, because I leave them up all fucking year.
I know.
Just the white ones. No, yeah. Don't blink. No icicles. None of that shit. It just annoys the shit out of me.
All right.
That's all. No, yeah. I don't give a shit about the holiday.
But I look forward, with the same way that I look forward to white women and pumpkin spice, Grandpa over here bitching about the earliest of Christmas. It's the same time every
it's
fucking
every year.
Year.
Get off my lawn.
Just set my
I
watch
I guarantee
by
if
it.
We went to last year's October 1st episode,
it'd be too early. All right, Grandpa. It hasn't changed in 50 years. Just when you're finally old enough to bitch about it, it's all that changes. Oh, look who joined the club.
Well, lesbian number Susie. One over there said that it's actually late this year.
I haven't seen one. It's October.
You don't go to Home Depot.
Well, no, nor would I. But... but it also seeps into other. Like I was at the Biltmore the other day, and there was nothing.
Oh
yesterday.
No, they wait. No, they
there
wait.
There was no yeah. Christmas. So it's the appropriate time because you want to buy all that lesbian shit that you need to decorate for Christmas. I don't know what they sell at Home Depot, but
you want
to
buy it now?
No, you
hooks
don't.
And things.
Hooks.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Hooks and things.
It's things that I'm living happily without.
Yes, do you know we actually hot glue our lights up? Yeah.
Shut up. I don't.
So
even
now
know
you're involving crafts
that.
And so, Christmas.
Yeah.
Two things.
Bitch.
That could be thing number two.
There you go.
Because my people are crazy about Halloween.
Oh, no. We talked last week about all the lights. Yeah.
About all the freaking lights, right.
But so, those were just Halloween lights.
Right. That's only Halloween. Yeah. Christmas is
we haven't even
thing.
Got to buttons and bows and things that I love. Or
did
whatever
you put
that song
up those
is.
Lights this weekend?
Raindrops on roses.
Yeah, and something kitties and noses and bullshit. Whatever. Did they put up your Halloween lights? Did you get that shit done?
Are we out of Crown Royal?
Oh, no. I got a little in there.
Calm the fuck down. Have a drink.
I feel like we've maxed out on uppers.
No, I could have another mug of coffee if you'd like. I can have more.
I'm entertained. I'm.
You're not even going to be here next week.
Nope, I'm not showing up.
So you better. We're trying to get it all in.
I
this.
Think it's a delightful idea.
I'm going to have more Java.
Yeah, so the hot gluing, because my house is like brick and stucco construction, so I don't enjoy putting like nails and hooks in brick.
No, God no.
I don't enjoy it. It can be done, but I don't like it. So yeah, we kind of looked it up, and now we've got like a nice little ledge, and so we put little dabs of hot glue and stand all the little lights up. It's very nice and uniform.
Oh no,
the only
thing I'm going to appreciate
would love the
is
uniformity.
That it's all they're all upright at attention and they glow. It's all the same.
Oh, I'll show you a picture.
I do enjoy
it's,
that.
It's the entire
take
like,
pictures. We'll show people. I'll enjoy that. We'll do a whole segment.
Let's
lighting
go,
with Cat
let's go ahead and not post the picture of the front of my house for the world to see.
No, I don't mean that. No. I just mean like, give us a line and edge. Just take
like
a picture of an
there's
edge.
There's a little bit of a line.
Yeah, that's good. We'll blur out the address. We can do that.
I like it. I like it.
I enjoy that.
But yeah, to all the people out there, and especially our international listeners, but everyone has election fatigue. Mm. We're all going to get there.
Well, that's what we were talking about. Okay,
it's going to be. I came back.
You good for you? Yeah. We wandered on
Woo! Back.
Got it. And I don't necessarily have election fatigue, but I know other
it's
people
time,
do.
It's that time of the 4-year cycle that we have to kind of start reminding ourselves and each other that the people who disagree with us on this one, on this one really sexy but not as important as many other things.
Yeah.
Contest that there are still our neighbors. They're still the people that we work with. They're still the people that we love.
These absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say
absolutely.
Love.
I think that's a little bit. Yeah.
No, there's. I can think of one.
But
I know what you mean.
But keep in mind that you have more in common.
Right.
The people on the other side of this particular issue.
We all
you
hate
have
wind chimes.
Not
in that's what I
correct. Right.
Rude.
I do not hate wind chimes.
I do not. I just restrung mine.
Yeah. We have a shitload.
You know that every time I walk by wind chimes, I'm like, those fuckers.
Yep.
You know, from Grey's Anatomy.
I know. I say it every time I leave your house.
I'm going to quote Grey's Anatomy in a particularly terrible case today about a child with a kidney transplant.
Involves a wind chime?
Dr. Karev says to the child, this is their mantra. They say, nothing is as bad as broccoli.
No.
I think we have that all in common.
Brussels sprouts.
I do enjoy it.
I love
Brussels
broccoli.
Sprouts. We're going to change that to Brussels sprouts. Nothing's as bad
absolutely.
As Brussels sprouts.
And nothing smells as bad as cooked cabbage. So just bear that in mind.
Oh, that's a valid point. Well,
but I do love cooked cabbage.
And All of humanity has this in common.
Yeah, fair enough.
Remember that. Miss me for 2 weeks. What's next? Thoughtful?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a bullshit? Does anybody have a bullshit?
Does anybody have a bullshit? Would anybody like to share a bullshit? Does anybody want to share?
There's absolutely a bullshit.
It might spur other bullshits.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we can just tank the show and go right to the thoughtful.
There was a bullshit from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, she's going back.
She's written them down.
Oh, it's like is it a throwback Tuesday?
Talk loud, I gotta pee.
Kind of. It had to do with, and I'm looking for it right now.
Talk loud, I gotta pee.
Oh, well.
What the hell was that?
Well, I'm looking, but...
You can find it.
It's all good.
I feel duped.
Here it is.
I feel duped. Wow, you have
low
standards.
I thought there was a bullshit coming.
Throwback to September 13th. Judge who asks rape victim why she couldn't keep knees together.
I do recall this story, but did we not talk about this?
No.
Oh, I thought we did.
No, it actually...
Maybe I talked about it to myself at some point, my own production meeting.
May have, but...
Who knows?
You should invite some
but
people
that,
to that.
The only thing, it's a Canadian judge. It's a Canadian judge, and the only thing that's good about it is that he's facing removal.
Oh, yes, that's right? True. Yeah.
But it was just the highlight of, judge who asked a rape victim why she couldn't keep her knees together.
Right. It's your fault.
Right.
Basically, it's your fault.
Right. A Canadian judge's position is under review this week for comments he made. Now, this was a 2014 rape case. Robin Camp was the judge, and a 19-year-old woman said she was raped over a sink during a house party. During that case, that's when he asked, why didn't you just sink your bottom down into the basin so he couldn't penetrate you?
Oh.
And why couldn't you just keep your knees together?
How does he know how the sink's built?
And that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
So he suggested if she moved her pelvis, she could have avoided him. Oh.
Yeah, I read this guy.
He also said, according to the statement of allegations, women want to have sex, particularly if they're drunk, and sex and pain sometimes go together. That's not necessarily a bad thing, he said. Camp has since apologized and said he didn't receive training on sex assault cases prior.
But you're just a general dumbass?
Correct.
You don't have to have training for that.
You're not a human being.
Last time I checked.
Not a human being. Camp's daughter... that judge's daughter, who said she'd been raped herself, called her father's comments disgraceful, but said he's not the insensitive, sexist brute caricatured in the media. No, his comments.
It's
like Donald Trump.
We're just going to go with your own words in context from the bench.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Make you out to be a sexist monster.
Piece of shit. The Canadian Judicial Council will decide if Camp will be dismissed over the comments. How could you not be? How could you not? It's like your Ten Commandments in Alabama. How can I walk through the door and feel that I'm going to be judged
fairly
this or that? Or how as a victim... do I feel that I can come forward safely? Because that's terrifying enough.
And you absolutely don't know that in this country. Because California just changed their statute of limitations. Do they make it unlimited, I think, for rape cases? That there is no more statute of limitations.
Good.
It can't expire.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. So, but it's such a it's such a rape culture.
Mm-hmm.
And...
but didn't that come up because of this?
I think it's come up because of Cosby and a bunch of other stuff of things that have gone that are out of the statute of limitations.
Sure, it was because of the swimmer.
And the swimmer, and that's about like we're giving mandatory sentences of like 30 years for somebody
who has
a nonviolent criminal
joint,
but we're going to go easy on the rapist because that might ruin his future and
absolutely.
Can't figure out. Why people think injustice going on?
Yeah.
It's very strange.
The black guy with the joint is going into the joint because
he needs to learn a lesson. But the rapist, prison might ruin his life.
Well, he has to be able to go back to Stanford.
Right?
We still as a country have not quite reached that dream of equality for all.
It's worldwide though. The rapey culture is just prevalent all over the world. You just look at any
Yeah.
Any religion, any society, anyone's treatment of women, and you just end up at shitty rapey.
Well, and
but
I'm going to go with the
written
fact that
in our like founding document. Right, so I feel at some point we might want to get there.
I'm not saying we're not a standout version of her hypocrisy.
Right. But that, you know,
at some point we might want to get there.
All men are equal except for these ones that we're going to count as two-thirds.
Except for those.
And then not the women.
Except for the black ones. And
the
women.
Other part
and we don't want
this...
Jewish people anywhere near us. But other than that, all, seriously, all but these few.
The obviously his comments were bullshit and calling bullshit on that. But I think it's not pointed out enough that men can be raped as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so it comes not, up in, not about him, but just as a statement in general. I think that that when you're and for men to come forward with any kind of a rape allegation, dear God, right? Compared to, you know, for women, it's difficult. It's very difficult. But for men, there's that shame that's put on it.
Oh, like, yeah.
You're not horrible. It should be something that is just brought forward. And if you have these people that are going to be the ones hearing a case, it just is.
But it's just prevalent with men. It's just a rapey culture. And they don't understand. Like, they just don't want to be part. Like, they can't understand how this is happening because maybe...
And if you just move your pelvis.
Yeah, and they just don't want to see a man's life ruined. They're so upset by that part.
I know.
Yeah, it's
how will
very,
he go on to be able to run for president of the United States?
And while I, like, 100% am not discounting the incidence of men being raped, the, like, one in every six women in America has been attacked.
Yeah, I've been
one in every 35,
yep.
you know,
totally
has been attacked. Like, the numbers are...
And as one of those numbers, I totally am with you. Yeah. I just always fear that anyone who's listening or anything else, I just that idea of getting that.
Sure.
Out there.
Yeah.
No, military story has a lot of men raped.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what makes that story so. And the fact that they're like, they like leave it to, and I think they left. Did they make the decision recently too? Or no, Trump said in his town hall.
I bet he didn't.
He probably takes it back now, but he said, because he didn't know what he was talking about, he said it should go up the chain of command, even though the person up in the chain of command was most likely a rapist.
Right.
That
right.
he thought they should keep that in place.
Oh, absolutely.
But again, it's because, and then of course he would deny and say he meant something else when someone tells him, like, you can't, that's what we're fighting against.
Except
that's exactly
he wouldn't
what
say I meant something else. Everyone around him would say, well, that's not what he meant.
And Clinton really said it.
Yeah.
Because
Obama.
Clinton has an orange face, white eyes, and when he closes his mouth, it looks like a butthole. Yeah.
Trump really is the expert, because the very first thing that comes up when I'm looking for this, he says, you know, 26,000 unreported sexual assaults in the military, only 238 convictions. What did these geniuses expect when they put men and women together?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's amazing. Well, they kind of expected everyone to just keep their shit in their pants and do their fucking job.
Right. How about you're in the military and you don't rape people?
Yeah.
How about...
That's the weirdest thing I've ever
that's
heard.
That's one of the funniest Amy Schumer episodes, is where the new football high school football coach tells the players, and we're just going to have a no-rape policy. And they're all up in arms like, but what if we win? No rape. But what if the girl's drunk? No rape. And they're like, so, and the parents are like...
They can't deal with it.
Why can't our son rape people? Like,
what if she has it coming?
If you haven't seen that episode of Amy Schumer...
I have seen that episode.
And it's... it's so deeply bullshit.
It really is. Yeah.
I hope you've got a question because we're going to go from here into this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
This came from a listener last week. What would make you want to break the law?
You mean what have I done, or
no,
what
no,
would
no,
make
no.
me want?
And
I see.
Yeah.
I didn't know if this was just a candor.
just all the laws you've broken,
past tense or future?
I know.
Tense.
What are you getting at? Put a light on me.
Yeah.
if somebody hurt somebody that I love,
you'd go right to Taken.
Oh, I
list your special skills to the person on the phone.
There really is not going to be any kind of if it's something that's we know that we got the person, blah blah blah. Yeah.
I can see you mowing somebody down on the old Subaru.
Oh, you have, yeah. Let somebody hurt, you know, one of you guys, let somebody hurt my mom. Let somebody hurt your mom. Yeah, let's see how well that goes. You know, the idea of someone hurting my mom, someone hurting Aaron. I can't even. I can't even imagine. Otherwise,
I'm just the most well-adjusted person you've ever met.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I mean, otherwise, you can go ahead and, like, I'm going to be frustrated, angry, feel violated, whatever it is with someone. See, like, I'm not worried. Like, go ahead and try to rape me again. Like, let's see if that can happen.
Yeah.
Because I've had this in my head so many times, like, what I would do. That right. I'm meh. But try to do that to my mom. Oh. Try to do that to Aaron. Try something like that. You're hurting somebody. Yeah, that's going to be the issue.
There's going to be some murder.
Yeah, something is really going to happen. In my head. Like, in my head, that's what I would think. Yeah. You rob my house, you do something else. Those are things. You hurt my animals, you hurt, you know, whatever. Yeah. Now we have other issues. So, yeah, that's, and by animals, I don't mean mom and Aaron. But sometimes.
It's good to have that clarified.
Separate but equal.
Separate but equal. I just, you know, I would hate to have anybody hear that and think, well, you know. But, yeah, so. And I don't know that it's murder, per se.
Murder?
I don't know that it's murder.
Funny you should ask.
Perhaps it could be.
We've just Dateline NBC'd that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it murder?
We don't know, but
Keith Williams.
Because I always think Keith Morrison.
Keith Morrison. I'm sorry.
I always think the particular person from my past, like, oh, if I were to be able to get a hold of him, oh yeah, we'd be like doing that whole I'm going to hurt you to the point where you pass out, then I'm going to keep you there and you're going to heal, and I don't care how fucking nutcase this sounds, then
you're going to misery this.
Oh, you have.
Have
yes.
you ever seen The Prisoner with Hugh Jackman? Yes.
I haven't.
Uh-uh. Rent that.
Yeah?
Yeah, find a way to see The Prisoner with...
Ginny. Ginny said she'd rob a bank dressed as Trump wearing a t-shirt that says Orange Lives Matter.
I love it.
And then Amina replies, stop insulting oranges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of them are good people.
Or some of them, I'm certain.
I'm with you, Amina, on that, though. Get your hands on somebody. But anyway, it does. It sounds crazy when people go, oh, but having been there, that would be one of those things where mm-hmm. I'm going to hurt you and then let you heal. And I'm going to hurt you again. I don't care. Crazy. That's what I would do. The end.
The show with Clayton McKee, Special Victims Unit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're going to Mariska Hargitay the shit out of this.
Oh, you have no idea. I'm going to call Elliot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, come
Give
on,
me some help.
Come on, Benson. That's Let's right. get this through. Cheese and rice.
So, again, just to clarify, we're thinking future tense.
Correct? Future tense. Yep, yep, yep.
So, the other bodies, I don't have to admit to those.
That's
right.
Exactly That's right. Good.
Nope. You do not have to self-incriminate on this show. You can talk about future
hypothetical criminal activity.
Exactly. I didn't say I did that or, yeah.
I think I don't think I have that, like, violent inclination. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that I have that thing where I think I'm really
either.
Capable of, and no matter what the situation, I don't think that I'm actually capable of, you know, beating someone to death or whatever it is. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm actually capable of all that. But I do know that I would certainly, like, the first thing that came to mind were crimes of survival. You know, because desperate times call for desperate measures.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, you're broke and hungry and homeless, and you're going to Jean Valjean the shit out of this. You're going to steal some bread.
So I was going with cannibalism for this one. So I'm like, wait, yeah, so wait, that's murder. Okay. So you won.
Wow.
If a licensed therapist could please call into the show with
Do you remember a couple weeks ago when this one was talking about some other stalking or some other shit, and I said, I'm going to be watching out for her?
Yeah.
We're back to that circle.
She's got olive oil and garlic in that bag. One of us is
getting cooked. Very
who knows? Maybe it's a, you know.
The voices are coming from within the studio.
Can we trade seats? Because I feel like my exit is blocked.
It is.
And I'm very concerned.
Something clearly standing in the way between me and
safe. I'm very concerned for my life.
Freedom.
It is black cat. I'm just kidding.
Hey, if worse comes to worse, these are just curtains and a window.
Out that window right. In a minute, yeah.
Be careful of the wind chime.
Yeah. No, and
that'll
and
scare me twice.
Fantastic.
And I think, unfortunately, I don't know about by and large, but I would venture a guess without doing any research on it that a lot of people have committed crimes out of that kind of. Desperation or hopelessness.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh, like, absolutely.
You know, why would you steal something when you can clearly, you know, support yourself? If you're happy and comfortable in a middle class lifestyle, you're not inclined to go shoplifting unless there's something actually wrong with you. So I think just crimes of desperation and survival are kind of where I turn. Like, would I steal food? Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have I? Maybe.
Yeah.
Did you eat a single grape off of that bunch before you got to the cashier in the store?
Oh, I'm talking actually like...
No, I understand.
Loaf of bread under my arm and I'm out the door.
Literally Jean Valjean did.
Literally. 24601. Yeah, but survival would definitely, like,
that's right,
there reaches a point where I don't care.
Yeah.
Meaning you're making me laugh.
You gotta eat.
I would be in the same boat. Like, again, if it's depending on what's going on. But what I counter that with is if somebody's attacking. No.
She has nowhere to go. You don't know.
I would say. But if somebody was
Dexter's
attacking my mom, if somebody was attacking one of you or a friend or something like that, that's not breaking the law. That's
sure, sure.
Right.
No, I'm saying you find them.
But breaking a law would be just like somebody, I'm really, really tired of you, and now you're going to die.
Right.
I have a list of those people. I would love to see them all. It's not that I want to kill them. I don't want them to live any longer. But I'm not doing it.
And you're going to watch me?
But if something miraculously happens to them.
I just don't think you should live any longer.
Well, it was a line from Stewie Griffin on Family Guy. It's not that I want her dead. I just don't want her to live any longer. Talking about Lois. But I agree with Kat. Like, if you were homeless and hungry and you had no other means, like, if there was a way to get a loaf of bread or a snack, something, I would see that. But other than that, I don't think of things like that. I can't think of anything that would make me break the law. Mm-hmm. I can see me doing things I wouldn't normally do out of self-defense, but again, that's not breaking the law.
Right.
Being late to work, I'm sure you've broken the law.
I've never been late to a goddamn thing. I don't... What?
And all the things, you have to take all the easy things off the table. Like, everybody speeds, everybody's on a rolling stop. Right. Everyone's like turned the other way at that really stale yellow that looks a lot
Why
like
do you
a
think
red.
I went right to killing?
Yeah, no.
And cannibalism.
Right.
Look down. down.
Nothing but you're right. Kills a I mean, show that would more be... than a lot of
unless this one's going to come up at the end and give us some example of something that's breaking the law that I haven't yet thought of.
Right.
But breaking I'm like, I just breaking don't think of it. Everything I think of that would be could potentially be thought of as breaking a law or doing something is only in self defense, and technically that makes it not breaking a law. Like if somebody it was in my house coming at me and I have a baseball bat and I happen to knock your fucking head off,
that's actually not breaking the law.
Yeah.
No. But if you hit them as they're coming through the window, then it's breaking the law.
It
doesn't matter. Depends on your attorney at that point.
Yeah.
Supposedly,
I'm going to find you, hurt you, heal you, and
but if
you again.
If you shoot them, the baseball bat's going to be a problem, but if you shoot them with a gun, you're fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As long as it's a gun. Just don't use the baseball bat, because those kill people. But guns.
Guns don't. Nobody.
No.
Guns are innocent.
You're fine.
And I really, I thought about this because they wrote it in the chat room last week, and quit right to killing cannibalism.
Well, just saying, zucchini.
Once they're dead, are you really committing a crime with cannibalism? Though, I mean, if they just, you know what I mean.
Please don't leave me alone in the room with her.
I'm not eating these people. That one is.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry.
Why? Because I'm hungry all the time?
Apparently.
Well, j'accuse unjustly.
Pour vous.
I don't know. And I
I have found.
Meow Cal, I dare you to make that a bumper sticker.
Beware the wind chimes. Why do you think I went right to killing and cannibalism?
Beware the wind chimes. Hashtag.
That's Marnie's campaign slogan.
That's right.
I will say that just about everything that I could come up with, I've kind of made my peace with anybody that may have, like,
done you wrong.
Done something somebody unpleasant that I would be like, oh, if I caught somebody doing that. But I'm like, you know, eventually I kind of made my peace with it and kind of was like, they're a dick. Their life or death doesn't really mean anything. But when I see people bullying other people, like not like a little jab here and there, like not knowing your name.
Not like funny bullying.
Yeah, not when I'm enjoying it.
This show would not exist.
Zucchini. Did you just catch that? Not like not knowing your name.
Right, fuck, who cares? I barely know how I got here. It's my house. I don't know.
Literally, I don't either.
It was Marty in the wind chime in the studio.
That's fair.
That's clue. And
we're going to find the secret passageway from that closet to the other room.
To Narnia.
Via Narnia.
Marnia. Or
to the library.
If only we hadn't announced my absence next week, we could have just pretended that Marnie killed me. But it made quite the mystery.
And that's what we were dining on. Her last wish.
I would have had ribs.
Her last wish was cannibalism.
Next week hasn't come yet. Careful.
Oh! That's a whole 7 days!
Cuidado.
Drop the mic.
But I honestly
Secret Service, if you're listening, I need help.
When I see people, like, just bullying someone, and I'm surprised at how often it still goes on, and people just kind of blow it off. Well, she's not very nice. No, she's a bully. Like, that's literally bullying.
Sure.
Like, you're just being nasty to someone because you have more power than they do. You just exactly are being a bully. And I really find that my level of dislike boils to the point of almost wanting to push them down a flight of stairs. Like, I can't imagine taking a weapon to them, but let's say the door to the emergency staircase exit opened, and let's say my body weight kind of flew into them, and they kind of went down a flight of stairs. I'm just saying, I would probably shut the door and move on. You know what I mean? Like,
oops.
I didn't see
her. Can't hear you. Yeah. Can't hear you.
Bells and whistles. Like, I honestly could imagine.
Head cold.
Like, just wiping out the problem and being like, no, I didn't see that.
Huh.
Was she there?
I didn't. I don't know.
And it really has become, like, because I really did, like, look around for different examples. Mm-hmm. And I really have to say that in like, the real world situation, I'm sure other horrible things could happen. But I really do have to, like, the bullying of people is really still pretty prevalent.
Sure.
And it carries on into, like, adulthood in an unsightly way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it would be a grand staircase. If I'm going to be involved in the crime, it would be
high profile.
Gracefully and grandly.
But it would be mischief. What's the one that I like?
Criminal mischief.
Criminal mischief involving a grand staircase.
Criminal mischief your way out of that bullshit. I like it. What was he arrested for? Criminal mischief.
Somewhere near a grand staircase.
Who'd have thunk it?
Delightful.
Does he have?
He killed him with a wind chime.
Does he have representation?
No.
At press time,
he had no representation.
Because you know, I'd be the asshole. I'd be like, I can handle this. I'll be my own lawyer. What the fuck? I watched like 3 episodes of Law and Order. I'm ready.
You got it down pat. Yeah, you're fine. Right.
But you know what I would probably do though? I would probably put a video of what the person was doing up and be like, come on, you're with me.
Arrest my case.
Right down the stairs.
They had it coming.
He had it coming.
Did she do a number?
I think I've heard something like that.
Oh,
that's exactly how I would.
If we all should survive, we'll probably have more episodes of the show. But if not,
I'll be here.
It was done with the wind chime.
And there's only 3 more episodes until
elections.
The very, very nervous drunk election episode.
As we wrap up tonight's show, we'll leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
Bye, guys.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America.